happen soon enough, especially for those cut off from the Jersey Shore, unable to see how their homes fared.
New York City is creaking and groaning, slowly getting back to life. Undamaged parts of the nation's largest transit system are set to reopen today. So is LaGuardia Airport, which stayed closed a day longer than the region's two other main airports. This is NBC News Radio. There's some new polling numbers from several key swing states. NBC's Tracy Potts.
Our latest polls of battleground states show a slight advantage, and in some states, really only a slight advantage for President Obama, ahead by 6 in Iowa, 3 in Wisconsin, and just 2, well within the margin of error, in New Hampshire.
President Obama is heading to Wisconsin, Colorado, and Nevada, while Mitt Romney goes to Virginia. The price tag for the 2012 election could be a record breaker. A report by the Center for Responsive Politics says the bill could exceed $6 billion. That includes spending for the presidential and congressional campaigns. Lawyers for Boston mobster James Whitey Bulger are headed to court. They will argue his trial should be delayed until next November because they need more time to prepare. Bulger is accused of playing a role in 19 murders. As of now, his trial is set for March. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally. Member FDIC.
Nerelman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Nerelman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
It isn't just President Obama and New Jersey Governor Christie setting aside differences, at least temporarily. In the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy, rivals in business also are striking cooperative tones. The pharmaceutical industry has activated an emergency website to help people who lost access to medications get replacements. The site is rxresponse.org. People in 11 states plus D.C. affected by Sandy can use it to find pharmacies able to refill prescriptions. And to help offset the effect of damaged cell phone networks in New York and New Jersey, AT&T and T-Mobile are now sharing their networks and cooperating to repair the damaged ones. Uber busy morning ahead of Wall Street's opening bell, only the second of this unscheduled short week. We get 3 reports on jobs, layoff notices, private payrolls, and unemployment claims. We get October sales reports from major retailers and automakers. And ahead of all that, stock futures are down. S&P futures losing 5, NASDAQ futures down 4. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
In the past year, Rock Center with Brian Williams has brought you stories no one else could.
On Rock Center,
a different side of Justin Bieber.
I just want to prove people wrong.
The founder of Facebook finally sharing.
We are making billions.
A first look inside the White House Situation Room.
This was the longest 40 minutes of my life.
The Sandusky interview that shocked America.
I am innocent.
At the center of power.
Investigation.
Controversy. At the center of it all. The Emmy-winning Rock Center with Brian Williams at 10, 9 Central, Thursdays on NBC.
I'm Dan Kelly, owner of GoTime Fitness. I'm always trying to stay top of mind with my customers, and Constant Contact has the tools to help me do that. They make it so easy. So when my daughters started a business of their own, Constant Contact was the best advice I could give them.
Dad, we're 9. It's a lemonade stand.
Never too early to start.
From deals to events, social to email, Constant Contact can help you grow your business. Find the solution that's right for you at ConstantContact.com.
How'd you like to say goodbye to your mortgage for an entire year? Yep, goodbye, ta-ta, arrivederci. That's what'll happen if you're one of up to 5 lucky winners in the Quicken Loans Skip a Year Mortgage Sweepstakes. Just think, no mortgage payments for 1 whole year. Courtesy of Quicken Loans. Go to qlskipayear.com to enter. That's qlskipayear.com. And you can enter every day. The more you enter, the better your chances of winning. There's a bunch of other prizes, too. Check them out at QLSkipAYear.com. You could say so long to your mortgage for an entire year. Goodbye. Farewell. See you later. Adios. Au revoir. Hasta mañana. Toodaloo. The Quicken Loans Skip a Year Mortgage Sweepstakes. One more way, Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze.
No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 United States and D.C. 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Sweepstakes ends 11-18-12. For official rules and complete details, visit QLSkipAYear.com. Sponsor Quicken Loans Incorporated. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License and all.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Michigan Governor Rick Snyder is the poster child for the cliche, actions speak louder than words.
One thing I tell people is there's no magic bullet here.
Because...
And there isn't just one or two things to do. This is a grinded out situation.
I think this is a challenge.
Y'all don't shut up. I'm going to go out of my mind.
Welcome to Detroit's only free speech zone. It's time to wake up to truth, reality, and a way forward. It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning. As I'm finishing my breakfast. Good morning, everybody. It is 6 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Thursday, the first day of November. Yes, it is November, which means we're just a few weeks away from Thanksgiving. Then we have to do the Christmas thing. Yep. Welcome to November. Hold on 1 second. I got to adjust my headphone volume. It's way too loud. That's what happens when they fix the board. Everything comes in a little too crystal clear. I'm not complaining. Good morning. I hope you're all doing well today. I hope that you all had a nice Halloween, if that was in your wheelhouse. Perhaps it was. Perhaps it wasn't. My wife did tell me, as I didn't participate in the passing out of candy, that it was an interesting parade of quote-unquote children. She actually told me that there was a 60-year-old man that actually had two bags. He was collecting candy for people that weren't there. Just odd. Very, very odd. Halloween's not what it once was, is it? It just really isn't. I don't know why that is. But anyway, again, Kevin was saying this morning that they didn't have a lot of trick-or-treaters at his house, as we didn't have a lot of trick-or-treaters at our house. But it is what it is, and it's now November, and we move on. And maybe it has something to do with the fact my kids aren't kids anymore, and this is not something that we participate in. But anyway, we've got a great show for you today. Obviously, we inch ever closer, 5 days away from the election. Sweet Jesus. I've been trying to envision what the other side of this looks like, and I can't. Joe and I were talking after the show yesterday, as we do every day, and we don't have anything scheduled for Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. I mean, we've got our regulars, but, you know, I said, you got to let me think about this. I mean, I want to have people that went on, but I don't know who they are. I'm kind of confused, but, you know, we'll get it all. So next week, the end of next week may get a little weird for us, but we'll figure it out eventually when you do nothing but elections, elections, elections. As we predominantly have done for weeks now, maybe 10% not election-related, it changes your priorities. But we've got our priorities in order today. Susan Demas joins us just after 7 o'clock. She is, of course, a journalist with the Mirror's news service out of Lansing and with MLive.com. We'll be talking presidential politics. We'll be talking polls. We'll be talking lots of good stuff. Senator Debbie Stabenow, happy to tell you and honored to tell you, she'll be with us at 7:35 to make her case for reelection. If you saw the polling numbers yesterday, I posted them to the Facebook page twice. In one poll, she's up by 15%. In another poll, she's up by 22%. So I don't want to say she's got nothing to worry about, because you always got something to worry about, but certainly things are looking up for our junior senator, who's just a great person. Mike Thompson, award-winning editorial cartoonist and video blogger for the Detroit Free Press, went to Freeport, Illinois. Sensata, you've heard that story? Well, if not, you'll hear about it at 7:50. David Hecker, president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan, is our guest at 8 o'clock. And then at 9 o'clock, Chris Mihalakis will join us, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO. In our Labor Day Thursdays, which I have come to love, and for a variety of reasons. And then I want to remind you before we move on that we've got the remote coming up tomorrow. And so I'll give you all that information as well as the Sierra Club has their event this evening. But with all that said, let's go ahead and get this started.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Think. That's our first word, think. I don't know that I really need to expound on that word, except to say too many people don't. And certainly a lot of people don't do it for themselves. Now think about it. They don't. Oftentimes we're led around by, I don't know, news sources. Some of you take what I say, hook, line, and sinker, and that's okay because I'm really not trying to mislead anybody, and I do believe I'm truthful, and when I'm proven not to be, I certainly correct myself. But we need to start doing a little more thinking. We need to think for ourselves. We need to think outside the box. Any cliche that you can imagine that involves the word think is appropriate. The reason I want to focus on the word think this morning as I watch all of the negative ads. Well, I forgot to mention Bridget McCormick is going to be with us. It just came to mind. But I'll get to that in a moment because it made me think. All right, folks, all the negative stuff that's out there, if you stop and think about it, it can't all be true, right? It can't all be false. So what is the difference? The difference is you. The difference is the way you think and what you do and how you do it and way you research things. Stop and realize for just a moment that we have gotten a little bit lazy. Years ago, probably 15 years ago, I was interviewing a guy that said that one of the dangers of the internet is that it would slow down the way we think, that we would become, through doing certain things like favorite sites, we would find ourselves trapped in a world that we believe to be safe and secure, all the while not challenging the information we've been given, which means we're not going to think as much as we once did. That would be sadly, sadly true. We need to start making sure that, like any muscle in the body, the brain will atrophy if not used. Yes, sometimes that smell you smell, I don't know, or probably brain synapses burning out from not being used. Stop not thinking and start thinking more. Think about it. That is today's first word, think.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field is deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And they try Red Wings for the third time in 11 years. Are the Stanley Cup champions.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
And we say good morning once again to Anthony. Good morning, Anthony.
Oh, good morning.
So for the last 3 years in a row, the opening game of the season for the Pistons ended in what result?
I'm going to guess a loss because they lost last night.
You would guess correctly. Yes, they did lose last night by 9 points to the Houston Rockets. I did not watch any of the game. I don't know if you did or not. I certainly did look at the score this morning. Not necessarily the way you want to start your season, Anthony.
No, they were actually up by 11 with about 6 minutes left and blew that lead pretty quickly. Carlos Delfino hit about, I want to say like 5 or 6 three-pointers last night. It seemed like he hit that many. I don't know how many it actually was, but he was on fire. James Harden, their newly acquired guard, was on fire, and Pistons couldn't hold him off in the end.
No, if not, how do you blow an 11-point lead is a great question, but they did. They did. And I think that is a little bit of a precursor to what we probably should expect this year, unfortunately. So, anyway, an auspicious start to the Pistons season, and we'll just see how it all plays out as we work our way through the season. Beyond that, you know, the only news that I get is that Denard Robinson is not practicing a lot this week. Chances are he won't be playing on Saturday's game, but you know how this goes. They could be just playing mind games, and he could be running out there as the starter on Saturday for all we know.
Yeah, I heard he might play. I don't know. So, you know, could go either way.
Yeah, and so, I mean, besides that, you know, the Tigers are done with their season. The Lions are, you know, midweek, so there's really nothing going on. You know, I guess the trade went through. He passed his physical, but we know nothing more than that.
Yeah, I heard they might want to use him out of the backfield more as a running back than a receiver. I don't know how much truth is that. That was just what Dave Burkett of the Free Press said, and one of the ESPN writers also suggested that they might do that.
Yeah, I also heard that he might run back kicks and punts because Stephon Logan has been less than effective. He hasn't run one back for a score since 2010, and that his average is quite anemic, especially on kickoffs.
And he had the pretty big, fumble against the Bears, and he actually had two in that game, so... You know, maybe his time is done.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. Because he is too small to use in the backfield.
And he's getting up there in age. You know, the speed guys, once they hit about 30 years old, they're not really speed guys anymore, and there's not really much room for them in the league.
God, when you say that, it makes me feel so old. The speed guys, when they turn 30...
Well,
no. I'm just saying it makes me feel old, that's all. I'm just saying it does. Because I'm not even close to 30 anymore. I'm way back in the rearview mirror. Anyway, let's see what goes on with the Pistons. Tomorrow, of course, we'll take a look at the weekend football games as we're at our remote, which we'll talk about when we return to First Shift. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. Folks, we're 5 days away. What's on your mind? Let's talk about what's going on in your world. 888-552-3595. I know many of you have already voted because you've written and told me that. Good for you. I will, of course, be voting right after the show on Tuesday and look forward to that with great anticipation. Thanks for punching in. We'll take the break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trivia. Romney is he's a shyster. There's no other words for it. Shyster, cheat, liar. We know he's a liar. I mean, let's just say it. The guy's a liar.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Just got some road construction for you. Grand River Avenue, east and west of Schaefer Highway. Intermittent lane closure started at 9 a.m. 275 northbound between 94 and Ann Arbor Road reduced down to two lanes, and 75 both directions between M59 and Baldwin Road. That starts at 9 a.m. with moving lane closures. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 48 with early morning showers. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and 46. And it's currently 42 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Is America truly the land of the free, when working families have to struggle to survive? Our work
workers free to achieve the American dream.
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. Justifying her actions, Mayor Daniels declared the city charter to be a whimsical document. She embarrassed the city's proud history and those public servants who came before her. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community. Forever linking the city of Troy and its diverse population with this kind of intolerance. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center, ignoring a large bipartisan majority and the direct endorsement of Governor Rick Snyder and the wishes of the Troy Chamber of Commerce. She repeatedly used her deciding vote to ignore what was best for the city of Troy. And if Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to First Shift on this Thursday program, and 5 days away from the election. I want to remind you, tomorrow we are going to be at a remote at AFSCME Council 25. They're at 600 West Lafayette in Detroit, and you are all invited. Now, the actual prayer breakfast itself is from 8 till 10 o'clock in the morning. There will be a nice buffet breakfast. And you're welcome to come down anytime up till 8 o'clock. So if you'd like to get there early, get there early. If you want to come just for the prayer breakfast and the breakfast itself, that begins at 8. You do need to RSVP. The AFSCME Local 25 is located at 600 West Lafayette in Detroit. It's at the corner of 3rd and Lafayette. They are immediately across the street from the old Detroit Free Press building. And all you need to do to RSVP is either send me an email, and I will pass it along, tony@thetonyshow.org, or you can call 313-964-1711, extension 2223. That's 313-964-1711, extension 2223, and just let them know how many people you will have with you. They do need to know today, obviously, since this is tomorrow. But we will be starting the show tomorrow morning, as we always do at 6 o'clock, and we'll be there all morning long. Very much looking forward to the prayer breakfast itself. We have some special guests that will be joining us as well. So lots to do, and looking forward to doing that on tomorrow. As I said, a little prayer doesn't hurt. I had briefly mentioned Bridget McCormick was going to be on with us today at 9:50, and the reason that she's joining us is not just to plug her candidacy. In fact, it's not to plug her candidacy for the Michigan Supreme Court at all. She is being attacked from an outside Washington, D.C. based group that is putting a $1 million ad campaign against her with false and misleading information. And we want to talk about that. And we're going to talk about that. What's disgusting about it, to be honest with you, is that the other side the Republicans are running ads against the three women that are running, that are endorsed by the Michigan Democratic Party, about outside interest groups or interest groups funding them. Yet here's $1 million that's being spent against just one candidate. Isn't that a little hypocritical? And, you know, we're talking about Bridget McCormick, who has a stellar record with the Innocence Project, with the pediatric clinic, with being the dean of clinical law at the University of Michigan. She's married to a White House lawyer. I can go on. This is a legitimate person, the mother of four. And that'll tell you a couple things. Number one, she's doing very well, and they're concerned that she will win, which she will. And that's why they're spending money. But it's the outside influence that drives me nuts. The hypocrisy of that is just uncalled for. Absolutely uncalled for. But it is politics after all, and we just have to deal with it. And we will. All right, I want to have a little fun audio before we get into some of the more serious stuff. Jon Stewart on The Daily Show yesterday, dealing with the aftermath of hurricane/superstorm Sandy, pointed out that New Jersey Governor Chris Christie certainly has found himself a new friend, but he, as only Jon Stewart can do, finds his own way to kind of demonstrate that love fest. Let's listen to Jon Stewart.
But my favorite came straight out of New Jersey, whose governor, Chris Christie, kicked crazy ass during the storm. He's been one of Mitt Romney's most outspoken allies throughout the presidential campaign. This is him just 12 days ago.
The president doesn't know how to lead. He's like a man wandering around a dark room, hands up against the wall, clutching for the light switch of leadership. And he just can't find it, and he won't find it in the next 18 days.
Obama couldn't find a stack of old newspapers in an episode of Hoarders. I'm telling you. This guy couldn't find a container at the container store. I'm telling you. Obama couldn't lead a bunch of eels to the Sargasso Sea. Their natural spawning ground. So, you know, look it up. But that was, of course, when America was still living with a pre-9-foot-11-inch storm surge mentality.
I want to thank the president personally for his personal attention to this. He accelerated the major disaster declaration for New Jersey without the usual red tape. The cooperation from the president of the United States has been outstanding. The president has been all over this, and he deserves great credit.
Yeah, I guess he found that f***ing light switch, huh? To his great credit, Chris Christie realized the storm was real and that he had a job to do as governor, so it was time to slalom down Bull Mountain and deal with this Obama, not this Obama. Not everybody got the memo.
Over the last couple of months, you have appeared throughout the country, Governor, on behalf of Mitt Romney. We hear that perhaps he's going to, Mr. Romney may do some storm-related events. Is there any possibility that Governor Romney may go to New Jersey to tour some of the damage with you?
You kidding me, Ducey? Look at Christie.
I have no idea, nor am I the least bit concerned or interested. I have a job to do. I've got 2.4 million people out of power. I've got devastation on the shore. I've got floods in the northern part of my state. If you think right now I give a damn about presidential politics, then you don't know me.
If I know my state and my governor, I believe that is the point of the conversation where you are supposed to flip over a table and yell, "Prostitution, hoa!"
You gotta love it. You gotta absolutely love it. Jon Stewart, very, very creative, and really calls it like he sees it. If you get a chance, go to YouTube and Google the Daily Show from yesterday, because that whole thing, there was a lot more before it and some after it, did obviously not. It's 9 minutes long. We don't have time to do all that. But it was really quite clever, and as only Jon Stewart can be. How many of you, show of hands, how many of you have been getting robocalls? And how many a day are you getting? I think I counted seven yesterday. Some of them from Democrats, some of them from Republicans, some of them from candidates, some of them from party people, some of them from unions. Oh, my, oh, my. One of the robocalls I got was from the chairman of the Michigan Republican Party. And we'll let you hear it on the other side. It was really, well, predictable. I'll leave it at that. Predictable. Give me a call. Let's talk about politics. Let's talk about Election Day. What's on your mind? 888-552-3595. How are you feeling about things? Are you ready for Tuesday to get here and get over with, or get here? Which one is it? We'll take the break. This is 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Just got some road construction for you. Grand River Avenue, east and west of Schaefer Highway, intermittent lane closure started at 9 a.m. 275 northbound between 94 and Ann Arbor Road reduced down to two lanes. And 75 both directions between M59 and Baldwin Road. That starts at 9 a.m. with moving lane closures. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 48 with early morning showers. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and 46. And it's currently 42 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hi, this is George Pearls. I've coached for the Pittsburgh Steelers and at Michigan State, and I've seen a lot of great players, but Brian Musalem is one of the toughest I ever coached. Brian Musalem was a co-captain at MSU, and now Brian Musalem wants to give back to Michigan State by running for the Michigan State University Board of Trustees. Whether you bleed green or not, I hope you will join me in voting for Brian Musalem for the MSU Board of Trustees on November 6th.
Paid for by the committee to elect Brian Musalem.
According to the self-aggrandizing mythology of America's right-wing rich, Sheldon Adelson is one of society's producers, not one of those morally inferior moochers who are always looking for government handouts. For a reality check on the moral superiority of the rich, however, take a peek at who's now trying to do some of the most egregious mooching ever from the economically devastated people of Spain. Why, it's Adelson, the multi-billionaire casino tycoon from Las Vegas. In addition to trying to buy favors from our own government by throwing as much as $100 million into this year's presidential and congressional elections, the far-right Republican extremist is making a huge financial play in Madrid, Spain. Posing as a magnanimous producer, Adelson claims he will create 250,000 jobs there by erecting a dazzling, neon-bright $35 billion gambling mecca to be called Euro Vegas. Casinos, hotels, golf courses, four-star restaurants, you name it. Sheldon's corporate development shimmers like a free enterprise mirage for Spaniards suffering from a housing and banking collapse and 30% unemployment. But wait, a mirage is nothing but an illusion. And so is Adelson's free enterprise miracle. In fact, Sheldon the Moocher is demanding that two-thirds of the funding come from the cash-strapped government, which would have to take out bank loans to finance Adelson's profiteering scheme. He's also got his hand out for special tax breaks, and get this, he's even demanding labor law changes so he can bring in cheap foreign labor to build and staff his Spanish casinopolis. This is Jim Hightower saying, what we have here is another example of the ultra-rich's extraordinary sense of entitlement. The dark secret of so many self-proclaimed producers is that, in fact, they're professional, world-class moochers.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 6. You've got the number. Let's talk some presidential politics or elections or local or, ballot proposals, whatever's on your mind. Are you ready? 5 days from today, are you ready for change or is the status quo okay with you? We go to the phones now and welcome Ariel in Oakland. Ariel, thanks so much for your call this morning.
Good morning, Tony. How you doing, Tony?
Good morning. It's nice to talk to you.
You too. I just want to say, out of all the nastiness I've seen in this state, you were one of the few politicians that's or ex-politicians, because I know you ran a few years ago, that's very honest, that's very sincere, and very true to heart. People like you, Carl Levin, and Debbie Stephan are good for this state, and especially in the midst of a bunch of corruption and dirty politics we've seen in the past 2 years, not just in the city of Detroit, but throughout Southeast Michigan. So I was going to say, now as far as this election is concerned, yesterday I talked about the Detroit News and how they're endorsing Romney. Personally, I think that decision is all political, because I think that some outlets, whether it's print journalism or the mainstream media in general, I think they want a close election because of that. They're going to do whatever they can to make sure this goes down to the wire. And as far as who they want to, I'll agree about Obama's accomplishments last night, and the things this president has accomplished in just 4 years is really unprecedented. As good as Bill Clinton was, the thing that Obama had to face when he came to office just 4 years ago, and what he's had to overcome in spite of opposition from the Republican Party, is definitely short of a miracle. So,
well, you're right, Ariel. Thank you for your call. You're absolutely right, and certainly because there's been so much negativity surrounding this presidency by the Republicans, we don't have a president that's braggadocious. He doesn't like to brag about himself. I think he should do more of it because it's the political way. We do it for him a lot. We certainly blow his horn for him, but this is not an administration that talks a lot about their vast accomplishments, and there are many. In fact, at the homepage at thetonyshow.org, if you scroll down to the news feed at the bottom, you're going to see an article entitled Obama's 50 Greatest Accomplishments. Read it, 50 greatest, not 5, 50, not 15, 50, 50. He's done a lot. And, Ariel, I'm glad that you're paying attention. I do need to correct. I'm not a politician. Yes, I ran for office. But in order to be considered a politician, you have to actually become one. I did not. And I'm glad I did not make that transformation. 888-552-3595. Let's talk to Joe in Madison Heights. Joe, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, President. Good morning, man.
Good morning.
On your last statement, I did the same thing. I was going to run for city council here, and I'm not a politician, and people invite you in their homes, show you family pictures, and offer you dinner, and to turn one's back and play politics with these people, I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. But anyway, Tony, Obama, what a gentleman. What a man. I mean, I heard on Randy's show last night how he helped the people of New Jersey gave Governor Christie his personal phone number, everything you need, anything you need, call me. You know, he was right there on the spot, cut through the red tape. Meanwhile, Romney staged an event in front of Walmart with canned food and with the people coming asking for donations for his campaign in Ohio. But, man, Tone, I remember you in 2004 and your passionate sadness at the end of that election. I'll never forget it. And
yeah, that was a tough one, Jeff. Joe, that was a tough one for me.
Yes, it was. Horrible. And I hope, God willing, that we have, with that passion, a passionate celebration for our president.
Well, I appreciate your thank you for the call. What a beautiful call. And, yeah, the Kerry campaign was the hardest I had ever worked to try to elect somebody. And yeah, it was devastating. Many people, the day after that election, called the show, very despondent. The four more years of George Bush was not something we envisioned. And some would say that election was stolen as well. And, it was a very difficult time. Joe, what a beautiful call. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you being with me all these years. And sometimes, you know, As someone said to me not long ago, first of all, had I had meant to be elected, I would have been elected. I think I certainly serve a larger constituency doing what I do now than I ever could have as a member of Congress. Let's go back to the phones and welcome my friend Les in Detroit. Good morning, Les. Hope you're well.
Yes, good morning, fellow patriot. Hey, I'm glad you decided to have this radio program. When I discovered your programs some time ago, it was like a breath of fresh air. Tony, I'm telling you. I look forward to 6 o'clock in the mornings now.
Well, thank you.
Hey, listen, you got the perfect word for today, think, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of misinformation going on out there. You don't know, if you don't know the game, you don't know who to believe. And I think that needs to change. You know, it should be a law on the books that says you cannot have any false advertisement out there, because that's what's going on. You cannot mislead the public. If you're misleading the public, that should be against the law. If they just change that little law, I think that we'll have a better sense and a grasp of what's going on in our communities and in the world. And it would make it a better place, you know, if you put the truth out there. If they put the truth out there, you think Mitt Romney would have anything to say?
Yeah, that's it. You know, interestingly, the FCC does require that issue ads be truthful, but it's up to the television station to police them. And if they don't, they don't. There's really no repercussions for not policing them. It is against the law for candidates to lie. Which is really interesting. I shouldn't say that's not against law for them to lie. There's no rule that precludes them from not telling the truth. I'll put it in a more politically correct fashion. Les, you're right. If we only told the truth, it would certainly make things easier. But then we would certainly, and we should, question what we are told is the truth. I say it all the time. Don't believe what I say. Go out and prove me wrong. I'm fine with that. I just want people to start thinking for themselves, Les.
That's a good word today, Tony. That's one of the best words you could ever put out there, because we need to start thinking more. Because if we got Mitt Romney lying, and the news, you know, talking head show, be saying he lying. But they don't, and I turn to the Republican stations, and they just don't want to tell the truth.
No, they don't. That's sad. That's sad. Hey, I hope you get a chance to come to the remote tomorrow. We're going to be at AFSCME all morning.
Man, every time, Tony, you have something, because I'd like to see you again, because it's been such a long time since I've seen you, seems like. And I just got an appointment at Marygrove that morning, and I just can't get out of it.
Well, that's all right. Yeah. Well, we'll see each other at some point. Thanks for the call, and don't forget to vote on Tuesday, which I know you won't, Les. Thanks so much. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Greg and Livonia to First Shift. Good morning, Greg. How you doing today?
Not too bad, Tony. And I wanted to I wanted to echo everybody else's sentiments and thank you for all that you do here with your show. You're the only one on, you're only one on the air doing it, frankly, and I appreciate you. I wanted to ask, do you have any recommendations to pass along to people that, that, you know, a lot of people such as myself have the day off on election day, thanks to the glory of the UAW, and I wonder if you have any recommendations you could pass along where people could access resources for opportunities to get involved. I, for one, was going to go maybe to the 11th District Democrats website and find out what they've got going on there, how I can help.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. That's a great question. You know, every community has a Democratic club. Livonia has a Democratic club. They will have all kinds of needs for volunteers, poll watchers, people that hand out literature, poll challengers. Now, some of this stuff requires training, so it may be a little late for that. Maybe. I'm not saying it is. It may be. So I would suggest you contact your local Democratic club. They're always looking for volunteers. I'm on the mailing list, Greg, at a lot of these Democratic clubs. And even, you know, yesterday they were sending out notices that if you had a couple hours on election day to let them know because they had volunteer opportunities. So that would be my recommendation.
Okay.
Well,
great. Yeah, I'll get on that.
All right. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate the call. Appreciate your kind words. 888-552-3595. That was a great call. And I guess I did know. UAW members have Election Day off, part of their collective bargaining agreement, part of why Proposal 2 needs to get passed. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind that it does work. Collective bargaining works. All right, we're going to take another break here. Feel free to give us a call, 888-552-3595. We've also got that chairman of the Michigan Republican Party robocall I got yesterday. I just want to listen. There's nothing controversial or shocking about it, but I just got a kick out of it. I don't think they're vetting their lists very well. No chance that they are. Again, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. Let's take a very quick break here. We'll be back and wrap up this hour on the other side.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
This is former Michigan State University football coach George Perlis. I hope you will join me in voting for Brian Musalem for Michigan State Board of Trustees. Brian Musalem was a co-captain on the MSU football team. I know Brian Musalem will use his leadership skills to represent everyone at Michigan State. I hope you will join me on November 6th voting for Brian Musalem for MSU trustee.
Paid for by the committee to elect Brian Musalem.
Hard work used to be the way to get ahead in Michigan. But getting ahead is getting tougher. Corporate CEOs make millions of dollars by cutting our jobs and benefits. That puts everyone's future at risk. Collective bargaining protects us. It levels the playing field so workers have a voice and share in the company's success. Collective bargaining protects us against unfair layoffs and arbitrary cuts. Voting yes on 2 protects collective bargaining. Voting no puts us all at risk. Vote yes on 2. This message brought to you by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us, love us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before 7 o'clock. Welcome back. Feel free to give us a call. We're always open lines in this first hour, 888-552-3595. I do appreciate the nice calls we've already received this morning. Thank you. Yesterday, throughout the day, I received seven robocalls. One of them was from Bobby Shostak, who is the chairman of the Michigan Republican Party. I pick up the phone, and this is what I heard.
Hello, this is President Bill Clinton. I'm calling to ask you to vote.
That's not Bobby Shostak. That's not Bobby Shostak. Give me Bobby Shostak.
Hi, this is Chairman Bobby Shostak with the Michigan Republican Party. On November 6th, Michiganders will have a chance to make their voices heard that enough is enough. Barack Obama and Harry Reid have failed to lead and driven America further into debt. Mitt Romney and Pete Hoekstra and the rest of the Republican team will bring real change to Washington, D.C., and have a plan to restore America's future. This election is going to be close, and your vote will make a difference. Please make sure you take time on November 6th to vote. This call is paid for by the Michigan Republican Party and not authorized by any candidate.
All right, that gives us what we want to give us. Anthony, I gotta bring you in real quick. Did you hear the squeaking in the background?
Yeah.
That was Vinny playing with his toy. Vinny's my dog, everybody. That was Vinny playing with his toy in the background. It's just that ad is really entertaining on so many different levels. It just blows my mind. I feel the lack of enthusiasm. Hi, this is Bobby Shostak, Chairman Bobby Shostak, Chairman of the Michigan Republican Party. Just reminding you, enough is enough. Well, you know, you're right. Enough is enough, Bobby Shostak, and we're going to take care of that on Tuesday in short order. Taking a look at, and we're going to talk about polls in a little bit with Susan Demas, but taking a look at some of the polling that I've looked at over the last 24 hours, especially in these House races, they're getting tighter and tighter the closer we get to Tuesday. This bodes well. I'm not sitting here guaranteeing some kind of huge wave of victory for Democrats on Tuesday. It would be wrong for me to do that, because I don't even have a feeling that that's necessarily true. But it is interesting nonetheless. All right, blockbuster news yesterday. In fact, our First Shift Facebook poll question today is about the merger between Beaumont Hospital and Henry Ford Healthcare System, asking if you think if the merger is a good move. Let's listen to this audio from WDIV Channel 4 on the proposed merger.
It is a billion-dollar merger, one that could change Michigan's healthcare system. Today, two of Michigan's largest hospital groups, Beaumont and Henry Ford, met to pursue a merger. Devin Skillian joins us from the newsroom. And Devin, what can you tell us?
Well, Ruth, we've just had a few days really to get used to this idea. Word just started to leak out late last week. This is not yet a done deal, but the leadership of the Henry Ford and William Beaumont Health Systems do have the serious intent of merging. They hope to have an agreement within the next 120 days. An individual hospital is basically like a small city. So many departments employing a lot of different highly skilled people, all working in coordination. Henry Ford and Beaumont run 10 hospitals and then another 200 different health facilities. A merger is a mighty task, thus the 100 days, but the leaders of these hospitals say it's needed because of health care reform that includes declining reimbursements for health care providers.
This kind of change is sweeping every hospital in the United States. Healthcare reform is not going to go away. There are too many forces that are wanting change in this country to get higher quality, lower cost healthcare for the populations we all serve.
The combined health systems will be a nonprofit organization. The two would keep their names, and the medical staffs would actually remain independent. The combined organization, though, would then get a new name and be run by a single board with equal representation from each system. But there is a lot to sort out here, including which facilities and services will be kept, how many employees might be losing their jobs. The entire news conference, what we do know from today, is on our website at clickondetroit.com. That and other information on what the merger might mean for you, all on the homepage.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what this merger does mean, if it does mean closing down facilities of 10 hospitals. Some of them overlap populations. I think it would be naive of us to think that they will keep them all open because this is a cost-saving move. So why merge business and service and employees if you're not planning on making any changes, right? I think there's a lot, some logic to that if you stop and think about it for a moment. It's a little too early to say exactly what those changes may or may not be and what hospitals may or may not be affected. When you close a hospital, obviously that has a huge economic impact for the community that houses that particular medical campus. And so that can be quite devastating for that community. Just by combining boards doesn't in and of itself save you any money. So if this is about saving money, then there has to be a reduction somewhere, whether that's in personnel. And they keep hospitals open, but they outsource some services, whether they actually close facilities. Again, they have 200, between the two of them, they have 200 satellite offices and centers. Some of them are urgent care centers. Some of them are imaging centers. Some of them are surgical centers. And so how they exactly plan to do this. Now, that they announced this yesterday, it broke over the weekend. The question you have to ask yourself is how long had they been in discussions to do this before they felt comfortable enough going public? And I have to assume that it was a considerable amount of time. This is not a conversation you have over a cup of coffee once a week for, I don't know, 6 or 7 weeks. You spend a massive amount of time coordinating this kind of effort. And indeed, they will get this all figured out. There are not a lot of people have yet voted in the poll, but it's pretty much neck and neck right now how people feel about it. Yes, it's a good thing. No, it's a bad thing. Some people are unsure, and the unsures may end up winning this one, mostly because, like I said, we don't know and don't have enough information. The last thing we want to see is a reduction in medical personnel. All you have to do is go into a search engine, but there's a real severe drought coming to medicine with regard to people entering the medical profession. There will be a shortage of doctors in this country if more people don't start going to medical school. And with the cost of medical school rising on an annual basis, it becomes more and more cost prohibitive to get your education, which is why we need higher education reform. Imagine that. All right, let's take a quick break here for the top of the hour. Susan Demas, Debbie Stabenow, and Mike Thompson all in the next hour. We don't have 9 guests today. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. But we do have our fair share, and we're going to get to them all as we work our way through the morning. NBC News at the top of the hour. We will be back with First Shift right after this.
Teen 10. 710 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roads, and we got our first problem. It's a closure due to a serious fire. It's on Dexter Avenue, north and south, between Webb and Elmhurst. Also, we got road construction has reduced down to two lanes on 275 northbound between 94 and Ann Arbor Road. And coming up at 9 p.m. tonight, watch out for double lane closures on 94 in both directions between the Lodge and Michigan Avenue. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 48 with early morning showers. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and 46. And it's currently 42 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, now on for four full hours from 6 to 10, Monday through Friday, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Still reeling from Sandy. The death toll from the superstorm now 72. And hard-hit areas like storm-swamped Hoboken, New Jersey, where thousands are still trapped in their homes. NBC's Harry Chikma.
The water is contaminated. There's glass in the water, power lines in the water, and it's just not safe to walk in it at all, which is why the people are still stranded in their homes.
The once scenic Jersey Shore, now a picture of destruction. President Obama toured the devastation with Governor Christie yesterday, promising speedy federal relief. Meantime, New York City just creaking back to life, still without its subways, flooded by Sandy. Mayor Mike Bloomberg says it's going to take time.
Get the seawater out, and then there's invariably going to be some damage that they have to work on.
The swath of destruction from Sandy extends to West Virginia, where several buildings collapsed from feet of wet, heavy snow, killing a candidate for the House of Delegates. This is NBC News Radio. From the superstorm to the campaign trail, President Obama putting on his political hat with just 5 days till Election Day. He'll make stops in Wisconsin, Nevada, and Colorado, while Mitt Romney appears in Virginia, another key battleground state. For areas devastated by Superstorm Sandy, voting next Tuesday may be an adventure. NBC's Chuck Todd.
Some places in New Jersey, they're going to put up signs and say, guess what? We've moved your polling place. It's down the block, or it's about a half mile this way. The burden is going to be on the voter.
Could be a new meaning to the term misfortune. California officials say time is running out for a woman believed to be holding a lottery ticket worth $23 million. And bananas could become the newest superfood. Researchers say the tasty, nutritious fruit could even replace potatoes in some developing countries. They say as global temperatures continue to rise, bananas will be even more appealing as a staple crop. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Narrowman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Narrowman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Today we're asking people to name their one favorite meal for one from Stouffer's.
One favorite? Stouffer's lasagna. But how about the barbecue chicken?
Grilled white meat chicken coated with a sweet and tangy sauce with a side of cheesy potatoes topped with crisp bacon.
Yes.
So that's your one Stouffer's favorite.
Oh, but I also like Stouffer's meatloaf.
Classic meatloaf with a rich tomato glaze, smothered in a savory gravy with a tasty side of... Hey, where are you going?
You kidding? The store!
Stock up on all your favorite Stouffer's meals for one today.
It is too early to estimate the impact of Hurricane Sandy on the insurance industry. That's according to the boss at Allstate, which could get hit with Sandy claims more than most other insurance companies will. As for how the company did pre-Sandy, Allstate reports stronger than expected earnings and revenue for the third quarter. In the wake of the storm, a couple of industries are working more as teammates than rivals, at least for the moment. The pharmaceutical business has reactivated a cooperative website first launched in the Katrina aftermath. Response.org helps people in 11 states plus D.C. get hit by Sandy get new medications to replace lost ones. And AT&T and T-Mobile are now sharing their cell networks in New York and New Jersey and are helping each other with repairs to damaged networks. Stock futures near the flat line. S&P futures down 1, NASDAQ futures up 3. We are waiting for 3 separate reports on the U.S. job market, as well as reports on auto sales for October. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
In the past year, Rock Center with Brian Williams has brought you stories no one else could.
On Rock Center,
a different side of Justin Bieber.
I just want to prove people wrong.
The founder of Facebook, finally sharing.
We aren't making billions.
A first look inside the White House Situation Room.
This was the longest 40 minutes of my life.
The Sandusky interview that shocked America.
I am innocent.
At the center of power.
Investigation.
Controversy. At the center of it all. The Emmy-winning Rock Center with Brian Williams at 10, 9 Central, Thursdays on NBC.
I'm Dan Kelly, owner of GoTime Fitness. I'm always trying to stay top of mind with my customers, and Constant Contact has the tools to help me do that. They make it so easy. So when my daughters started a business of their own, Constant Contact was the best advice I could give them.
Dad, we're 9. It's a lemonade stand.
Never too early to start.
From deals to events, social to email, Constant Contact can help you grow your business. Find the solution that's right for you at ConstantContact.com.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally. Member FDIC.
Narrowman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yes, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Narrowman. Call Bob from AccountTemps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with AccountTemps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half Company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday, the first day of November 2012. A quick reminder that we set our clocks back an hour. Technically, Sunday morning, those of us that go to bed before 2 a.m. on Sunday morning, it'll be Saturday night or however you do it. But it is this weekend. That's right. It'll be dark at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, you knew it was coming, so just relax. We have a great hour. We have Susan Demas coming up in just a moment. We have Senator Debbie Stabenow at the bottom of the hour. And then Free Press, award-winning Free Press cartoonist and video blogger Mike Thompson at 7:50. So we've got a full hour of radio, and we should probably just get things going as we have a lot to cover. An introduction, please.
If you have been looking for real journalism as First Shift has,
then it will come as no surprise
that when we discovered Susan Demas, First Shift made an extraordinary effort to make her one of our regular guests.
And as you will hear in a moment,
the main thing Susan cares about is truth and fortifying her profession as a journalist.
And toward that end,
First Shift hit the jackpot
as we welcome MERS and MLive journalist Susan Demas.
And we do welcome Susan Demas 5 days out of the election. Susan, good morning to you. Heavy sigh, deep breath. Let's finish the marathon. Susan, good morning.
Morning. We just have 5 days left.
5 days left. 5 days left. 5 days left. I got to keep on, you know, it's kind of like in The Wizard of Oz. There's no place like home. I've got very mixed feelings. I said in the last hour, I mean, this has been really exciting and there's always something to talk about and there's no lack of guests. And then come Wednesday morning, I'm kind of like, okay, well, I can't really invite this person until I know if they've won. And I don't know. So yeah, it's going to be a different life for me. And I would guess for you as well.
Yes, it will, although I will be going right into lame duck session for the state legislature.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I have Harvey Santana on every the first Monday of every month, and when I asked his chief of staff what he wanted to talk about this week, his answer was simple, the lame duck session. So I don't know what he wants to talk about, but I'll find out on Monday. I'm sure it's going to be interesting.
We're going to have a busy couple months here.
Yes. Oh, there's no question. Especially, you know, especially, Susan, if the Democrats somehow find a way to pull off taking back the House, which I don't think is going to happen, but there's a possibility that it could.
Absolutely. And, you know, if they grow their numbers enough to make Republicans nervous, certainly there will be more controversial legislation that they're going to want to get done by the end of the year.
Yep, and it'll be very, very hard, if not impossible, to slow that down. Anyway, let's take a look. You know, we have been, the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about the presidential race, which makes a lot of sense. A poll this week shows that Mitt Romney and Barack Obama's Detroit News poll shows them practically neck and neck. A Detroit Free Press poll out yesterday shows the president up by 6 points. Continuing to prove your point, Susan, that you really have got to be careful which polls you look at.
Right. Now, I have to say, I do think that the Detroit News pollster, the Glengariff Group, is the gold standard of Michigan. But a 3-point race, as we know with margin of error, could be more like a 3-to-5-point race or a 1-to-5. Nobody honestly thinks it's a 1-point race. My gut at this time, this is going to be a 5-point race on Election Day. Obama's going to win. I think he could have racked up a bigger margin here if he had spent money. You had super PACs pound him with probably it's going to turn out to be about $15 million worth of ads since the primary. Certainly that, I would guess, would knock his margin down. But, you know, there were more important places for him to spend money, namely down south in Ohio.
Yes, where he seems to be polling still that 5-point margin, he seems to be polling 5 points ahead there. And you know, listen, this really, he, you know, we take the money and people say, well, he's not, Obama's campaign hasn't raised as much as Romney's campaign. That may be true, but it's not like they haven't raised enough money. They've raised enough money, Susan Demas.
They have. I mean, this election is going to be about more than $2 billion, you know, and potentially a lot more than that because there's a lot of money we don't know about, thanks to, you know, our campaign finance system. So, you know, the Obama campaign will be outspent, but certainly they've got over $1 billion raised. That I would say that's enough.
I would think so. You know, I always hearken back to the DeVos-Granholm race, where DeVos, of course, could write a check for any amount and did. You know, he started advertising, you'll recall, a year out of the election, he was up on the network news, the network stations in major markets around the state. And as much money as he spent, and he did outspend the governor by a significant margin, in the end, it didn't matter.
No. I mean, the quality of candidate, the message matters, you know, and that race was probably done with the first debate. But, you know, in this race, obviously, you know, it matters for you to get up on air, but there's a lot more to elections than just how many ads you can put on TV. You know, there's a matter of your connection with the voters on the issues. There's retail politics. You know, I think that the Democrats have been able to stay competitive.
Let's talk for a moment about the Hurricane Sandy or Superstorm Sandy and how that ultimately affects things. Obviously, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has been just effusive in his praise for the president. I think the president has to be very careful, and I think he has been very careful, that he doesn't politicize what's going on. He has looked, if you will, very presidential in handling this. It's interesting because the criticism he's gotten, Susan, is that he was too quick. If that's going to be your biggest criticism, I think you're doing okay.
You know, I have to say, I haven't checked in recently to this issue on the right-wing blogs, you know, and conservative media. So I'm sure there's criticism there. But the only criticism I've seen, you know, that's been breaking through is from Michael Brown, who, as we all know, was FEMA head during Hurricane Katrina under George W. Bush. And, you know, if he's going to pray, if he's going to criticize your job performance, I'd say that's a pretty good indication that you're on the right track.
Yeah, well, he we played some audio yesterday. He had given an interview in Denver, and he was the one that started this. The president was too quick in responding. He should have waited for people to ask for help. You know, and really, if that's your criticism that he was too anxious to help, I'll take that criticism, Susan Demas.
You know, I think that most of us are still horrified by the images of Katrina, of people on their roofs just begging for help and not getting it, and the horror that ensued. So, you know, if you're going to be quick on the draw to try and get to people, that's what you've got to do. And certainly I think that, you know, the officials in the area, like Republican Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey, Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, I think they've been pretty happy with their relationship with FEMA and with the federal government, and it seems like things are working.
Well, a little later on in the show, we're going to play some audio of Lawrence O'Donnell on Last Word on MSNBC last night talking about Mitt Romney's fake relief effort, and it was such a such a horrible day for the. Now, listen, I don't envy Mitt Romney in a situation like this. You're running a very competitive race. A natural disaster comes along that is by all measure significant. Over 40 people die. You know, millions without power. Massive destruction. And just as aired a couple days earlier that you'd like to privatize FEMA. You refuse to answer the question, and now you're the candidate just standing there. You're not welcome to come to those communities because it looks way too political. You know, you stay in Ohio. You do an event outside a Walmart where you've got to buy $5,000 worth of food to make it look like people are actually dropping off relief supplies. And then he won't. And then Mitt Romney won't talk to the press. This is not a fun time for Mitt Romney.
No. Now, I'll say I don't so much care that the campaign spent $5,000 on supplies as long as it's stuff that people need and can use. Fine with me. I know I have read that Mitt Romney himself has made a donation to Red Cross. I applaud all of that.
Absolutely.
If I were him, I don't think I would have done those events in battleground states that are barely affected, to be honest. But, you know, at the same time, you certainly don't want to be messing up relief efforts that are going on in the affected areas. And clearly, he was still holding a campaign event because, you know, he still has an election in a few days. He is in a tough position. But, you know, at the same time, I would be very happy if both candidates would take some of their campaign funds and donate it to the relief effort. I mean, who's going to complain if a few more ads don't run?
You got that right. There's no question that's true. Well, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk a little bit about the 11th Congressional District, where things are just getting more and more odd with each passing day. And we'll ask Susan about Senator Stabenow, who's with us in about 15 minutes from now. And the polling shows that she is handily winning. Can we trust those polls as well? Susan Demas, my guest. I am Tony Trupiano. We'll take a quick break here on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back to service you right after we do this.
With Tony Trupiano.
We're going to run out of time, and I just want to ask, what specifically are you going to do to provide universal coverage to the 30 million people who are uninsured?
That is not the issue.
On 1310 WDTW.
But you know, we're not going to turn the 30 million people who are uninsured is an issue?
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we're still watching that closure of Dexter Avenue, both directions between Webb and Elmhurst. That's due to a serious fire. And we're just watching some heavy traffic on 94 westbound between Harper and Little Mac, and slow traffic on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. That is your Total Traffic Update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 48 with early morning showers. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and 46. And it's currently 42 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5050. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center. If Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
Hard work used to be the way to get ahead in Michigan, but getting ahead is getting tougher. Corporate CEOs make millions of dollars by cutting our jobs and benefits. That puts everyone's future at risk. Collective bargaining protects us. It levels the playing field so workers have a voice and share in the company's success. Collective bargaining protects us against unfair layoffs and arbitrary cuts. Voting yes on 2 protects collective bargaining. Voting no puts us all at risk. Vote yes on 2. This message brought to you by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And thanks for punching in with us 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Susan Demas is my guest. She is a journalist with MLive.com and the MERS news service based out of Lansing. Before we get to a story that I read yesterday in MERS, I wanted to ask you very quickly, Susan, about Debbie Stabenow. The numbers look absolutely fabulous for her.
Yeah, I mean, who has the charmed life in Michigan that Debbie Stabenow does right now? You know, in the latest Epic MRA poll, she's up 21 points with Keith Hoekstra at 33%. I mean, he's not even getting all the Republican votes in this state. Now, I wouldn't bet anyone that would be that result on election day, but it does look like it's going to be double digits.
Yeah, it's pretty astounding. In fact, somebody tweeted yesterday, I kind of got a chuckle out of it, said Pete Hoekstra has new ads up on his YouTube channel. The news that what that means is that nobody will see them. You know, it's unfortunate. He just doesn't have money.
Yeah, it's just amazing that, you know, his campaign has ended the way it has. I mean, you know, this was supposed to be one of the most competitive races in the country.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be, and it just not turning out that way. Let me turn now to the story that was in MERS yesterday. about Kerry Bentivoglio asking the FBI to intervene with his quote-unquote mentally ill brother, Philip. What's this all about?
Well, you know, I'm sure that, you know, people are somewhat familiar with some of the work that the Detroit Free Press has done about some of his questionable business dealings. He's had a lot of court battles over things. You know, there were the infamous statements he made about maybe he needs a psychiatrist because he can't distinguish himself from Santa Claus, the character that he plays for his business. And so that's been out there, and I think that's kind of added to the unease that Republicans and independents have had about this 11th congressional race. Now, you know, we've been able to discover some more, you know, details about Bentivoglio, who, you know, let's face it, is an unknown character. And we all knew Thad McCotter, whether you agreed with him or not. You know, he was a known quantity. He'd been in politics and in public life. Bentivoglio is somebody that we didn't know very much about. So, you know, clearly he's had some issues with one of his brothers, and there are allegations back and forth about people owing each other money. You know, also a couple of the brothers have confirmed that Kerry seems to have a pretty troubled youth, you know, in terms of his mental health and substance abuse. So, you know, there are just more details coming out. And, of course, Kerry Bentivoglio himself is, you know, maintaining that, you know, he's a good candidate and his brother is out to get him. And that's the end of the story.
Well, you know, but, you know, and certainly part of this story is that he is still considered the front runner. We need to remind people who are scratching their heads saying, all right, I'm paying attention. There's nothing normal about this guy, and there's plenty of reason to question him. They just need to understand that this district was literally drawn for Thad McCotter to be a heavily Republican district, and because Kerry Bentivoglio has an R after his name. I talked about this on the show the other day, low-information voters. There are people that don't do homework. Susan, it's just a reality. You can criticize it if you want. It's just a reality. He has an R after his name. People are going to vote for him.
This is true. You know, if you are in a heavily Republican district, you know, it usually takes something pretty drastic for you to not win in the general election. I don't know that any of the revelations about his history in school or his business dealings, I don't know if that will make a difference or not, but, you know, certainly, you know, our job as reporters are to, you know, find out who the people running for office are.
Well, certainly, and you're right. You know, some of this, we talked last week about Dr. Syed Taj having an endorsement from the American Medical Association, certainly a very legitimate endorsement. They endorsed two Republicans, two Democrats in this cycle. One of them was Dr. Taj. They have financed a poll for him. They have financed some television for him. That is ultimately a good thing. But whether or not this information gets picked up and gets out there and is able to infiltrate the 11th and help Dr. Taj, especially this close to Election Day, is just an unknown right now, Susan.
I don't know. But what I can tell you is when Republicans were meeting, Oakland County Executive L. Brooks Patterson and powerful folks out there to try and figure out a consensus Republican candidate to run after McConnell got bounced, they felt very uncomfortable with Bentivoglio and, you know, with some of the information that they uncovered. I would imagine that some of it was some of the information that sources told MERS yesterday.
Okay. Well, you know, as we take a look at that, we do know that they certainly floated Nancy Cassese out there, whether you like her or not. She certainly was a legitimate Republican candidate established in that area. Kerry Bentivoglio benefited from, if you will, kind of a crazy situation where a PAC went out and spent a lot of money on his behalf. It's difficult to win as a write-in candidate anyway. The talk all along, Susan, and you're hearing it as well, that the Republicans, if Kerry Bentivoglio somehow wins this thing, they plan to run somebody else against him in 2014. So this is not a guy they expect to hang around anyway.
No. And that will make for an interesting primary because, as we know, Republican primaries are about who is the most conservative, and I'm sure Bentivoglio will have a very conservative record. But at the same time, I would expect there'd be a formidable opponent who is well-financed.
Yeah, we can count on that. And I wouldn't even be surprised if within 6 months of this next session, this next congressional session, that we'll probably have an idea of who that person will be, even if they're not officially announced. There will be names floating out there, and there will be somebody raising money right away. Now, that is going to happen if Dr. Syed Taj is elected. I think the problem the Republicans are going to have with Dr. Taj, if he's elected, is that he's going to be very moderate on some important issues. I think it's going to be tough to beat him if he ends up being the Dr. Taj that I personally know.
Well, the problem for Democrats is that a lot less of them show up in off-presidential years. There are about 700,000 Democratic-leaning voters. They just stay home when the president is not on the ballot. So it usually makes for a much better year for Republicans.
Well, that's one of the things the Democrats have to fix. And if they didn't learn that from 2010, then they've not learned anything. And shame on them, Susan. Shame on them. Well, it'll be interesting. The next time we talk, of course, the election will be behind us. We'll know what happens with the ballot proposals. We'll know what happens with the presidency and especially the House. And I will be curious to see how long it takes before the conversation turns to Senate races and whether or not the governor is going to run for reelection. Susan, I don't think we're getting much time off is what I'm saying.
I'm guessing that the session starts November 7th.
There you go. There you go. Susan, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right. Susan Demas with Mirrors News Service and MLive.com. A very quick break. Senator Debbie Stabenow after this break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's head over to 75 southbound at 14 mile, where accident has your right shoulder blocked, and that's already adding to the slow traffic in that area. Don't forget about that closure of Dexter Avenue, north and south, between Webb and Elmhurst. That's due to a serious fire. And watching slow traffic on 696 westbound between Van Dyke and 75. Also on 75 southbound between Big Beaver and 8 mile. And a slow moving on 94 westbound between Harper and 12 mile. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 48 with early morning showers. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and 46. And it's currently 42 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
First shift with Tony Tribbiano.
But in the past, Governor Romney has said he just wants to repeal Dodd-Frank. Roll it back. And so the question is, does anybody out there think that the big problem we had is that there was too much oversight and regulation of Wall Street? Because if you do, then Governor Romney is your candidate. But that's not what I believe.
On 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham.
As the East Coast and the federal government works on cleanup, rescue, and recovery from Superstorm Sandy, Republican New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says that President Obama is doing an outstanding job responding to the disaster. Asked by Fox News whether Mitt Romney would be coming to New Jersey for storm-related events, this was Christie's response.
I have no idea, nor am I the least bit concerned or interested.
Right.
I've got a job to do here in New Jersey that's much bigger than presidential politics, and I could care less about any of that stuff. I have a job to do. I've got 2.4 million people out of power. I've got devastation on the shore. I've got floods in the northern part of my state. If you think right now I give a damn about presidential politics, then you don't know me.
Ohio is playing a vital role in who will win the presidential election, and AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka says for the voters of Ohio, it may come down to the auto industry rescue. Trumka says Romney would have liquidated GM and Chrysler had he been president, and he can't seem to etch a sketch that let Detroit go bankrupt comment out of voters' minds. Trumka says the auto industry is one in eight jobs in Ohio. President Obama, Trumka says, stuck his neck out politically by making sure GM and Chrysler and the 2 million jobs that depend on them were rescued without gutting pensions and other benefits for workers. Trumka says the presidency may hinge on that auto industry rescue. And Trumka says a worker voting for Romney is like a chicken voting for Colonel Sanders. GM, Chrysler, reporters, editorial writers, and Joe Biden are all piling on to debunk Mitt Romney's big Ohio lie on Jeep jobs. Jesse Russell reports.
As the Romney campaign continues to run an ad suggesting Jeep plans to move U.S. jobs to China, more headlines are calling the ad out for being deceptive. So far, both Chrysler, which manufactures the Jeep brand, and GM have criticized the ad for being dishonest. In the case of GM, CEO Greg Martin told the Detroit Free Press on Tuesday, "We've clearly entered a parallel universe during these last few days." His reference was to a portion of the ad that said GM was cutting jobs and insinuating those jobs were being moved to China. On Wednesday, Vice President Joe Biden joined the piling on by straight up calling the statement regarding Jeep an outrageous lie. Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown told CNN it is the most disingenuous ad he's ever seen. The nonpartisan factcheck.org also weighed in on the ad, calling the sentence about Jeep misleading and flat wrong. The site also points out that the ad says Romney has a plan to help the auto industry. But to date, the candidate has made no such plan, if it exists, available to the public.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
They call her the superior choice for U.S. Senate. Major newspapers across the state have endorsed Debbie Stabenow, declaring she's a fierce advocate for her home state. Stabenow was one of the first senators to crack down on China's trade violations. She authored the bipartisan farm bill that cuts spending by $23 billion and helps create agriculture jobs. That's why Debbie is widely endorsed by farm, business, and veterans groups. Debbie Stabenow, always standing up for Michigan families.
I'm Debbie Stabenow, and I approve this message.
She should approve that message because, folks, I've got to tell you, of all the years I've been covering politics, which is almost 20 years now, I have rarely known a politician that has served every level that you can possibly serve in government, from the local level to the federal level. The only thing she hasn't done is serve as the vice president or the president. Everything in between there, she's got it covered. Come next Tuesday. You will be asked to return her for a third time to the United States Senate. There's a profoundly good reason to do that. She understands bipartisanship better than most. Why? Because she's actually accomplished it. And there are lots of politicians that have been around for a long time that will never be able to say that. It is with pride that I welcome to back to the program Senator Debbie Stabenow. Senator, it's such an honor to have you here today.
Well, Tony, it's always great to be with you. I appreciate all that you're doing, and we're coming down to the final days.
Well, we are coming down to the final days. Obviously, your campaign has received some very good news in the last couple of days. Poll numbers show that you're comfortably winning, but I know you, and I know you don't care about poll numbers.
No, you know, in my judgment, you know, it's all about working hard, and the only poll that counts is Election Day. And, you know, I know that all of us in Michigan are pretty independent lot, so it's up to me to earn every vote. So that's why I work hard all the time, but I certainly don't let down right before the election. In fact, we'll be in Detroit doing some retail politics. My fun, the most fun part for me is just being out and meeting people today and also encouraging folks who need or want or are able to vote absentee in person to do that between now and the election. As you know, the Wayne County Community College, both their Northwest
campus and their eastern campus, as well as the city clerk in Detroit at West Grand Boulevard offices, are open every day now, including Saturday. This is really important because the clerk's office is open between 8 and 5 on Saturday, and Wayne County Community College is open on Saturday from 9 to 5. So anybody who wants to go in person and vote absentee, you know, they're not going to be around Election Day or 60 years of age or older, or if they meet the, you know, other qualifications, can go on in person and make sure that their vote counts.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about accomplishments. I want to start with the farm bill, because that was a huge victory, not for Debbie Stabenow, but actually for the country.
Well, it's really important for Michigan. It's really important for the country that we get this right. You know, every 5 years we write something called the Farm Bill. Part of it is to support our farmers, very important. It's also conservation. You know, 70% of the land in our country is owned by somebody, and conservation of land and water on those lands goes through what we call the Farm Bill. And we also focus on new energy jobs, alternative energy, biofuels, bio-based manufacturing, which is where we're now using agricultural products to replace petroleum oil in manufacturing. In fact, today, if you're a lot of our automobiles, if you're sitting in a Ford vehicle or the new Chevy Volt, you're actually sitting on soybeans in the seats. It's soy oil that's used to make the foam instead of petroleum. So there's all kinds of things that are opportunities for us. And for me, what we did was we looked at what works, what doesn't work. We cut 100 different programs of things that just don't work anymore, or duplicate something else, cut subsidies for farmers for things that they've been paid for that they don't plant anymore, took those savings, we saved $23 billion to reduce the deficit, and then we began to do some new things that fit today, more focus on farmers markets, local foods, making sure schools can buy from local farmers. New energy jobs, conservation. We put in place a new Great Lakes regional partnership that's specifically going to fund very important initiatives for our water protection, erosion, pesticides into the Great Lakes. So, Tony, I could talk about it for hours, but it overall was great for Michigan, and it was bipartisan. Everybody, we actually had folks betting against us that we could not get this through because of the super hyper partisanship going on. But we just we didn't listen to everybody. We just sat down and worked together. And I give a lot of credit to my Republican colleague from Kansas, Pat Roberts, who reached across the aisle with me, and we got together and ended up passing something that was not only really good, but showed that when folks work together, you can actually get something done.
Well, and it is quite an accomplishment. I want to just, because we've got a limited amount of time, and I want to talk a little bit about the Stop the Invasive Species Act, because this is not something that you've forgotten about, and although it may not be the sexiest issue, it is a critical issue, and you are not going to let go of this until something is done.
Oh, absolutely, Tony. This is another area that we've got to work together on. Congressman Dave Camp and I have led the effort. We've gotten passed into law a timeline for the Army Corps of Engineers to give us very specific recommendations on what's called a hydrological separation of the waters between the Mississippi River, Illinois River, and Lake Michigan, because we've got to find a permanent way to stop these fish from coming in there. But we've also found, in the middle of all the work we've been doing, and it's really been all hands on deck here, because, you know, these fish get to be 100 pounds. They have no functioning stomach, so they eat all the food, the plankton in the water, so the other fish die. And then they jump out of the water if there's loud noises like motors, knock people out of boats. We've had people unconscious, you know, that have been skiing and so on. So it's a very, very dangerous thing for the Great Lakes. But in the process of looking at this, we found that there are a total of 19 different ways for these fish to get in the Great Lakes. So now we're spreading out to look at all of it. We found in Indiana, there were some fish going across from Indiana into Ohio, Lake Erie, Indiana. DNR has put up a barrier in the main river there, so it can't go any farther. But we have found some, what they call, it's a fish DNA, it's called eDNA, in Lake Erie, so there's now efforts going on there. So if we hadn't really stopped to require the Army Corps of Engineers to look at everything, we wouldn't know this, and we'd all be looking at Chicago while these fish are going into Lake Erie. So now there's an all hands on deck. We know, you know, how broad this is, how big it is, which is sort of good news, bad news, because it's bigger than we thought, but at least now we know. And we have all the states working together and are beginning, you know, we were able to get the Indiana DNR to put up a barrier to stop these fish going across the Wabash River in Indiana into Ohio. So it's a, but this is a big challenge. I mean, you know, this is not an easy thing when you've got 19 different tributaries and ways for these fish to get in the Great Lakes.
You know,
but we're not going to stop.
No,
we are
not
going to stop.
You're not going to stop.
Absolutely not.
You know, unlike some of your colleagues, you still enjoy being with your constituents. And I know that you've spent a lot of time with them in this election year. Are they still mostly concerned about the jobs and economy? And do they see the progress that you and the president have made on that front?
Well, jobs are always number one for us in Michigan. I mean, we've been hit harder, deeper, longer than any place else in the country. That's the bad news. The good news is that when our country needed somebody to stand with us to make sure we have the ability to make things in this country, our president stood with us. And, you know, I led the fight in the previous administration when we lost a three-month bridge loan we were trying to get. And, by the way, Mitt Romney's words were held up in my face. A Republican colleague said, even somebody from Michigan thinks we shouldn't help you. So that was a very tough time in 2008. So we fast forward to 2009. We had the highest unemployment rate in the country then, 15.7%, I think it was. And that's just people being counted. And then we come to today. It's still higher than it ought to be, but we've dropped farther than any other state. And so we're slowly coming back. People still, underwater, but we're coming back, and we're now number one in clean energy patents. So the new ideas for the new kinds of things like batteries and wind and solar, the ideas and the patents are coming from Michigan, which is why we got the first patent office outside of Washington, D.C. that was set up in Detroit in July. So, but we still, and it is about jobs. I think, Tony, actually number two, interestingly, because it is jobs, 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 no question. But I think number two, what I hear from women is, you know, they don't know if it's 2012 or 1912.
Yeah.
Because of the incredible way that women's health care and, you know, debating the definition of rape and equal pay. And, you know, when my opponent says equal pay is a nuisance, I mean, women are shocked. And these are economic issues. I mean, you know, if two people are working in the families because they need the salary of two people working.
Yeah,
if mom's working, you know, this is economic.
Absolutely. So, I think it's a moral issue, too, Senator. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Best of luck on Tuesday, and I appreciate you checking in with us this morning.
Always good to talk to you, Tony. Take care.
We'll see you soon. Senator Debbie Stabenow. A quick break. Mike Thompson from the Free Press when we continue.
First Chip with Tony Trio.
Well, the United States has a huge budget deficit, so taxes are going to have to go up. And I certainly agree they should go up more on the rich than everyone else. That's just justice.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Organized labor and the right to collective bargaining is under direct attack in Michigan. It's been under direct attack in Wisconsin, and we've seen what has happened there. And it is of crucial importance to protect collective bargaining in Michigan and make it illegal for the legislatures in Lansing to take that basic right of workers away from us. My name is Kylie James. I work at Kroger in Birmingham, and I am the United Food and Commercial Workers.
Union members across Michigan know what it will take to protect working families. Vote yes on Proposal 2.
This is former Michigan State University football coach George Perley. I hope you will join me in voting for Brian Musalem for Michigan State Board of Trustees. Brian Musalem was a co-captain on the MSU football team. I know Brian Musalem will use his leadership skills to represent everyone at Michigan State. I hope you will join me on November 6th voting for Brian Musalem for MSU trustee.
Paid for by the committee to elect Brian Musalem.
First Chip with Tony Triano.
Attorney Jana Nessel.
I had an acting neighbor of mine. He could watch my kids. And this woman is she's a card-carrying member of the Republican Party. And she knew I was working on this case. And when I came to pick my kids up, she said, you know what? Yes, you know, we are fiscal conservative, but our family still believes in equal rights for everyone. And it really touched me because I thought there's a lot of people out there that they may not be Democrats, they may not be liberals. They don't believe in this kind of discrimination. They still think this is wrong.
Yeah, you know, Dana Nessel, it continues to confound me. If there's one topic that should be nonpartisan, it should be human rights. It just should be.
On 1310 WDTW.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, TRUPIANO. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
All right, 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We've got a great segment for you. If Joe hasn't already put it up, he will be putting up a link to Mike Thompson did a video blog story in the Free Press this week about Bainport. We've talked briefly about Sensata. There's so much going on, but Sensata's this company that is in Freeport, Illinois, that is owned by Bain Capital. Mike went there and talked to some of the people. It's kind of a heartbreaking piece, but every time what Mike does, whether it's through the amazing editorial cartoons, which is why he's an award-winning cartoonist, or the handful of video things, and he needs to do more of them, it really finds this way to tug at your heart. Let us welcome actually back to First Shift Mike Thompson from the Detroit Free Press. Mike, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me this morning, Tony.
What a beautiful piece that is. And I have to ask this question. You may be a journalist, but you can't walk away from something like that without being affected.
You know, you really can't, Tony. What's happening in Freeport is sort of, in a nutshell, really everything that's wrong, I believe, with America today. You know, you have these hardworking average people who are having the rug pulled out from underneath them simply because of greed.
Yeah, that's a pretty basic way to put it. Let's set the stage a little, because not everybody's familiar with Sensata, and you know, we need to go back a couple years where, you know, we're talking about a very profitable business, 170 quality workers. Now, this is a non-union shop. I want to make sure I point that out. But 170 quality workers that were not only doing their job, they were excelling at their job, Mike.
Yes, exactly. It was a non-union plant, and it used to be owned by Honeywell. It was sold to Sensata Technologies, and at the first plant meeting, they called all the workers together and said, welcome to Sensata, and then, by the way, within the next year and a half, all your jobs are going to be shipped off to China. And as you said, the plant was recording, or rather Sensata itself was recording record profits. So the workers were stunned, to say the least. And then I think what would have been difficult for me was that these people were forced to train their replacements. Now, not their replacements directly, but they brought in a group of Chinese engineers to learn the job so that they could go back to China and teach them how to make what the plant makes, which is automotive sensors. And these sensors are provided to the likes of General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler.
Well, what's really heartbreaking for me is these employees who are training these folks that are taking these jobs back to China are now concerned because when they were training these folks, they really got the impression they weren't taking it seriously, that they were not learning, they were not taking this stuff in. And here you go. I mean, what does it tell you about the American mindset? Even when you're training someone to take your job, you're worried that they're not going to do it right.
That is true. And I spoke with three female employees there who said the Chinese engineers were not very interested in taking instructions from women. And, you know, you think about the difficulties in teaching someone how to perform a job who's then going to go back to China and teach someone there how to do a job. That would be difficult enough, but then there's the language barrier and the fact that the person you're training isn't really paying attention to you and is, as the women I spoke with said, dismissive of you. You wonder how this is going to work and the quality of the product that is ultimately going to be produced in China. As one of the female employees told me, she said, you know, if you want a new car, buy it now.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you one of the things that really broke my heart. And again, we've got the link up on the Facebook page. I really want to encourage people to go watch this. You know, people talking about losing the American dream and this idea that they've dedicated their lives to their careers. You know, maybe people don't understand that. For some, working in a factory might be grunt work, but for those that are actually working in the factory, they're actually assembling this stuff, that actually take pride in the quality and excellence that they represent. This is their life. This is their career, and their lives are being taken from them.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not as if these workers were making a king's ransom. They're being paid about $14 to $17 an hour, which, you know, isn't bad, but it's certainly not excessive. And I spoke with one worker there, Bonnie, who was a third-generation employee of that plant. She had devoted 23 years of her life to this company. And, you know, now it's all going to be taken away from her, and she has a pre-existing health condition, and she doesn't know how she's going to find insurance, let alone work.
You know, you're right. This is not the way we should be doing things in America. I want to, by extension, I want people to understand that Sensata is owned by Bain Capital. And although Mitt Romney was not a part of the Sensata deal, he is still a major shareholder in Bain Capital. And he, you would think, would have some influence in this decision. I understand that the workers there have tried to reach out to former Governor Romney, and they've received silence.
Yeah, you know, as I said in the video piece, Romney did create Bain Capital. It's his business model, and it's a business model that's built on buying up companies and squeezing every last ounce of blood that they can out of the turnip. And he, you know, if you create a Frankenstein monster, if it later goes on a rampage against the villagers, you are morally responsible for that.
And yet nothing but silence. And, you know, again, as the major shareholder in Bain, he certainly would have influence. I would feel, and I think, Mike, you would feel differently about this if for some reason they weren't profitable, if they were having record profits, or for some reason they weren't productive, but that is not true, or for some reason the employees were disgruntled, and that doesn't fall into any category. In fact, these people were awfully happy to have the jobs they had, consider themselves very much a family. This is, you know, like any other auto factory part supplier, these are families. These are communities within themselves. What happens to these folks come December, Mike Thompson?
Good question. The unemployment office, they told me, in Freeport is closing down. No, they don't know what they're going to do. I mean, you're really talking about people who are, you know, literally having the rug pulled out from underneath them. Their livelihood is gone. They don't know what they're going to do. And as you said, you know, this company was making record profits, but apparently record profits aren't enough.
Well, it's an absolute shame. I want to encourage everybody to go watch this. Share it with people. And, Mike, we need to visit more often. I wish you'd do more video stuff, but I realize that you only have so much time. I truly enjoy all of your work.
Well, thank you, Tony. Yeah, I do quite a bit of video stuff, and I plan to be doing more.
So. Well, good. We're going to have you back on more often. Thank you so much. Mike Thompson with the Detroit Free Press. We've got to take that break for the top of the hour. David Hecker from the American Federation of Teachers on the other side.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's head over to 75 southbound and 14 mile, where accident has your right shoulder blocked, and that's already adding to the slow traffic in that area. Don't forget about that closure of Dexter Avenue, north and south between Webb and Elmhurst. That's due to a serious fire. And watching slow traffic on 696 westbound between Van Dyke and 75. Also on 75 southbound between Big Beaver and 8 mile. And a slow moving on 94 westbound between Harper and 12 mile. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 48 with early morning showers. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and 46. And it's currently 42 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, right here on 1310WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikleshevsky, reaching out to help the victims of Superstorm Sandy.
My message to the federal government, no bureaucracy, no red tape, get resources where they're needed as fast as possible.
President Obama joining New Jersey Governor Chris Christie for a tour of the devastation. Sandy wiping out much of the Jersey shore, leaving cities like Hoboken waist-deep in floodwater with thousands trapped in their homes. NBC's Natalie Morales.
Half of those residents, as we understand, still are in their homes, still stranded. The mayor here is still calling for help. This is just one of many communities torn apart by Sandy's cruel path.
More than 600,000 New York City residents still without power. Limited subway service returning this morning. Traffic at the Manhattan crossings backed up for miles because of Mayor Bloomberg's carpooling mandate. The death toll from Sandy swelling to 72 across 8 states. In West Virginia, a candidate for the House of Delegates was killed, caught in a building collapse caused by 5 feet of wet, heavy snow. This is NBC News Radio. Just 5 days to Election Day, President Obama leaves the superstorm devastation to return to the battleground states Wisconsin, Nevada, and Colorado, while Mitt Romney focuses on Virginia. NBC's Peter Alexander on the Romney campaign.
There are new poll numbers out, and while both campaigns say that they are in the lead right now, these new polls show that the president is clinging to a tight lead in those crucial battlegrounds of Ohio, Florida, and Virginia.
President Obama hails them as heroes, the nurses at NYU Medical Center, who safely evacuated 260 patients, including newborns, at the height of Superstorm Sandy. The Daily News notes that the power outage did cause some casualties. Thousands of mice used in medical research drowned in the hospital's basement. And the best way to lose that big belly is to use your head. A new study finds when dieters develop a sound strategy to maintain their weight loss before going on a diet, the more effective they'll be, kind of a wait-and-see approach to weight loss. I'm Jim Mikleshevsky, NBC News Radio.
Ron found out he was in big trouble with the IRS.
Between the state and the feds, I found out I owed $70,000.
Ron had no idea what to do.
There was no way I could have paid that off. They were getting ready to garnish my wages, but who knows what else.
Until he heard about 911 tax relief.
911? 911 tax relief. That was exactly what I needed. They talked to the IRS for me. I didn't have to make one phone call. They just kept those guys off my back. And within an hour, they had it figured out. Done.
911 tax relief has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. So if you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes and you're faced with bank levies or wage garnishments, or if you have unfiled tax returns, do what Ron did and call 911 tax relief.
At 800-234-6260.
You may be able to eliminate up to 85% of what you owe.
Seriously, 911 tax relief saved everything. My house, my cars, they saved my marriage.
Call 800-234-6260. 800-234-6260.
Three reports on the nation's job market this morning. We got one this hour, and it's one of those reports with an increase when we wanted a decrease. HR firm Challenger Gray and Christmas says announced layoffs by big employers jumped 41% last month to almost 48,000, but a big chunk of that increase came from Ford, a U.S. employer, announcing almost 11,000 job cuts at factories in Belgium and the U.K. In the coming hour, we get readings of private sector payroll growth from paycheck processor ADP and the latest reading of new jobless claims from the Labor Department. Lipitor, one of the most lucrative drugs for its maker in pharmaceutical history, is no longer protected from knockoffs, and the loss of the Lipitor patent is the reason Pfizer gives for the fact its earnings fell July through September versus last year, sales down 16%, but the drop was expected. Pfizer's earnings came in line with forecasts. Stock futures now all higher. S&P futures up a fraction. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
In the past year, Rock Center with Brian Williams has brought you stories no one else could.
On Rock Center,
a different side of Justin Bieber.
I just want to prove people wrong.
The founder of Facebook finally sharing.
We aren't making billions.
A first look inside the White House Situation Room.
This was the longest 40 minutes of my life.
The Sandusky interview that shocked America.
I am innocent.
At the center of power.
Investigation.
Controversy. At the center of it all. The Emmy-winning Rock Center with Brian Williams at 10, 9 Central, Thursdays on NBC.
I'm Dan Kelly, owner of Go Time Fitness. I'm always trying to stay top of mind with my customers, and Constant Contact has the tools to help me do that. They make it so easy. So when my daughters started a business of their own, Constant Contact was the best advice I could give them.
Dad, we're 9.
It's a lemonade stand.
Never too early to start.
From deals to events, social to email, Constant Contact can help you grow your business. Find the solution that's right for you at ConstantContact.com.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally. Member FDIC.
Neuroman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trupiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. We begin our Labor Day Thursday, as we do every Thursday, this week with David Hecker and Chris Mihalakis. Before we get to David, I'll remind you, you are always welcome to join us. Just stay on topic, if you would, 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. A quick reminder, and I'll be talking about this a little bit later on in the hour, but I want to remind you, we do have a remote tomorrow at AFSCME Council 25 at 600 West Lafayette in Detroit. It is their annual prayer breakfast. We will be broadcasting there all morning long, beginning at 6 a.m. You are welcome to join us at any time. The prayer breakfast itself begins at 8 o'clock. And again, more details a little later on in this hour. With that said, let's get an intro and get this one going.
The empowering voice of the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan.
Public education is so important, obviously, for what the children and the young adults learn. But it's beyond that. It's social interaction. It's learning how to conduct yourself in society, to deal with people you agree with, disagree with, deal with people who you like, don't like. And it helps mold people into becoming a good, active, involved citizen.
In with Tony is President David Hecker.
And joining me now via the telephone. He's very busy today, and as he will be, I would think, the next 5 days, the president himself, Mr. David Hecker. David, nice to have you with us this morning.
Great to be on again, Tony. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, not unlike many of us, both anxious and tired, but more anxious and very much looking forward to GOTV on Tuesday, and listen, there's a lot to do, and we're all up for it. I've got to ask you, we just had Shatan Barry on the show from the Michigan PTA talking about mm-hmm. their support of Proposal 2. I understand that there's a group that is kind of throwing a yellow flag. What's going on there, David?
Well, it is unbelievable. You know, the people fighting against Proposal 2, the people who want to eliminate the voice of working people have now gone after parents, moms, dads, and want to squelch the voice of moms. The PTA, the Michigan PTA, as you know and listeners know, have endorsed Proposal 2. They understand the great value of collective bargaining to enhancing public education, because obviously the Michigan PTA is all about what's best for the kids. The bad guys, the opposition to two, have filed a complaint with the Internal Revenue Service, saying that the PTA violated their 501c3 status, that status under the Internal Revenue Code for private nonprofits, by taking a position on the ballot issue. And that is 100% wrong. A 501c3 organization is absolutely allowed to take a position on ballot issues. They cannot endorse the candidates, but they're allowed to take a position on ballot issues. Various 501c3s have taken positions on ballot issues throughout the years. So, you know, the bad guys know that this is a bogus complaint, but it's obviously an attempt to scare the PTA and to scare moms from speaking up. It is in a long line of despicable actions that the opposition to Proposal 2 has taken.
Well, it must not be working. I saw a television commercial yesterday that was very much focused on the PTA's endorsement of protecting working families and making sure that working families all over the state of Michigan understood their point of view.
Well, it's obviously not working. You know, sometimes amazed at... I think it comes down to just such a lack of respect for organizations that the opposition has, the lack of respect for organizations like the Michigan PTA, for moms and dads in general, to think that this would scare them from speaking up, from fighting for what they've always fought for, a quality education for every child, to think that this would quiet them down in fighting for what they believe in is an absurd assumption.
Well, there have been a lot of absurd assumptions, and I've got to ask you, I mean, if we're going to start talking about right and wrong, in your opinion, the Attorney General Bill Schuette has done what I believe is a lie. He's done an ad that's an absolute lie, in my opinion, David Hecker, my opinion only. And I am disturbed by it. I don't know that our Attorney General, who is supposed to be the top cop in the state for all of the citizens, should be taking a position on Proposal 2.
Well, you know, I pretty much like your opinions, Tony. So while it may be your opinion, I usually tend to agree with those, and I certainly agree. What he is saying, the Court of Appeals said the exact opposite, and the Supreme Court upheld the Court of Appeals. Schuette saying this would want to erase 170 laws. The Court of Appeals said no. that is not what this would do. And he doesn't care because he's, you know, he's a political person first and foremost, and an attorney general down the line, and obviously his list of priorities. I mean, the Court of Appeals said this does not overturn all these laws, and for some reason he thinks it does, and we know the reason, because he wants to defeat Proposal 2. He wants to eliminate the voice of working people, obviously wants to eliminate the voice of moms.
Well, again, I find this disturbing, and so much of the argument that has been against Proposal 2, and we'll remind people, David, not that they don't know, I've talked about it a couple thousand times, Proposal 2 just guarantees democracy in the workplace and gives us a right to collective bargaining here in the state of Michigan. That's all it does. It's all it'll ever do. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's something that everybody benefits from. Everybody benefits from it. And so it asks, and it really actually kind of begs the question, why did they decide to make this fight about drinking in school or pedophiles when it has absolutely nothing to do with anything that touches law? Collective bargaining cannot go around law. Why? I mean, if they're going to lie, why pick on teachers? Why pick on schools?
They, my guess is, and, you know, they're smart people. They do polling, and they obviously realize that a above-board debate about the values of collective bargaining, not just for people covered by contracts, but all working people, all of our communities, that collective bargaining has lifted up the entire state, that if they, if the argument was on that level plane and that's where they competed, the bad guys know they would lose. If they competed at that level. And I'm sure that's what the polls did and showed them. So they said, well, we can't really argue the truth because then we're going to lose. So, you know, let's come up with, scare tactics. Let's lie. You know, what's going to happen if we lie? We get a slap on the wrist that, you know, that the ad is untruthful. Meanwhile, the ad plays, right? So it's because they know if you argue about the values of collective bargaining for the entire state, that's an argument that the pro Prop 2 people are always going to win in the minds of the voters.
All right, let's take a quick call before we have to get to the break here. Again, if you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. David Hecker is with me. Brooks in Novi joins us now. Brooks, good morning to you. You're on the air.
Good morning, Tony. Good morning to your guests. I find it amusing that that it's always framed, the argument is always framed, that anyone who happens to have a different opinion or a different position than your side, that it's the bad guys. It's always, there's always a sinister motive. It's never just your fellow citizen that disagrees with you and has a different opinion and a different position. They're always sinister. It's always a war against you. It's always some conspiracy to undermine you guys.
Well, I didn't hear Brooks. Hold on, Brooks. You haven't heard anything about conspiracy. You have not heard anything about conspiracy theories.
The bad guys.
Okay, but it has nothing to do with conspiracy theories, Brooks.
They're your fellow citizen. They're your fellow citizen, and they have a different opinion and a different position than you do.
I'll let you finish your thought. Please.
I do have a question. The question is, is your contention that if Proposal 2 fails and it goes down to a no vote, that working families will no longer legally be allowed to collectively bargain?
All right, great question.
Is that the position?
That's a great question, Brooks. Thank you for your call. I'm going to correct part of that in a bit. But, David, this is about right to work, is it not?
The first of all, Proposal 2 is going to pass. Secondly, the collective bargaining rights of working people have been so undermined by politicians that it is a shell of what it once was. And there's no reason to believe that those attacks are going to stop. That's why we were forced really into protecting collective bargaining in the Constitution. And to the caller's first question, if this was a debate about collective bargaining, and the other side didn't lie, didn't accuse my members of being sexual predators and drunks, but this was a legitimate debate, then great. I would call them my fellow citizens. But for the people behind ads calling teachers sexual predators and drunks and don't care about the kids, well, I'm sorry. I think those people are better.
All right, we're going to pick it up from there. David Hecker, my guest, join us. 888-552-3595. We're up against the break. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks!
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Rush hour traffic and we got problems on your commute. Let's head over to US 23 southbound between Silver Lake Road and 8 Mile where you got heavy stop and go traffic. Now Warren Avenue westbound just before Gratiot, that is closed and police are on the scene. On 275 northbound at Copernic Road, accident has your right shoulder blocked. 75 southbound at 14 miles, still dealing with that accident has your right shoulder blocked. Southfield Freeway northbound just after Grand River, accident has your left lane blocked. Grand River eastbound just before Evergreen, accident has your right lane blocked. And on Shana Road southbound just before 12 mile, disabled vehicle is blocking your right lane. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 48 with early morning showers. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and 46. And it's currently 42 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Is America truly the land of the free? When working families have to struggle to survive, are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. Justifying her actions, Mayor Daniels declared the city charter to be a whimsical document. She embarrassed the city's proud history and those public servants who came before her. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community. Forever linking the city of Troy and its diverse population with this kind of intolerance. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center, ignoring a large bipartisan majority and the direct endorsement of Governor Rick Snyder and the wishes of the Troy Chamber of Commerce. She repeatedly used her deciding vote to ignore what was best for the city of Troy. And if Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Truppiano Facebook page. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. Now, back to the show and Tony.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock, David Hecker, my guest, president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan. David, very quickly back to that caller. A couple of things I want to say. Number one, the conspiracy theory thing drives me nuts because nobody mentioned the conspiracy theory in any way, number one. Number two, you addressed it. If this were about a debate, I'm all for debate. I welcome it on a daily basis. It happens here on a daily basis. So let's debate facts and we're fine. When you start lying, when you start disgracing people that have worked harder to, especially teachers who have to continue out of their own pocket to educate themselves to just maintain their salary, which is, of course, now disappearing. Let's talk about tenure. David, we could spend the entire hour just talking about what's happened to teachers.
That's right, let alone all other working people in the state. And again, as I said, as you said, if this was a debate about facts, let's have a good, straightforward debate. We welcome that. But that's not what the other side has done or has any intention of doing.
Well, it drives me nuts. I did get an email. It says, glad your last caller, Brooks, doesn't live next door to me. I can't repeat what it says after that. I pray the collective bargaining proposal passes so a loud mass message can be sent to the jerks like him that workers aren't going to take it anymore. And that's from Alan from Southgate. And, yeah, a message does need to be sent. Absolutely. Let's go to the phones, David, and welcome Jim to First Shift. Jim, thanks for punching in with us this morning. You're on the air.
Well, good morning, Tony. In regards to the previous caller, if we don't want to call it a conspiracy, it's a loaded term. But it's obviously a well-organized effort. The anti-union forces, anytime they've taken over the governor's mansions, the legislatures in the states, they've gone after public sector unions. Public sector unions should be organized, just like the opposition is. That's why we need to protect it in the Michigan Constitution. Vote yes on 2.
All right, Jim, thanks for the call. David, I don't think you're going to disagree with anything Jim had to say.
No, and Jim is absolutely right. It is a powerful political force that we're fighting, and just on 2 alone, let alone everything else. They're outspending us 2-1 on television. So they have an endless stream of money, and they're throwing the money at trying to get votes for their side. You know, there's one other argument that they're really putting out now, which is also I just find that we should not amend the Constitution. Well, you know, if this country believed that we shouldn't amend constitutions, the majority of the people in this country would not have the right to vote. People of color would not have the right to vote, and women wouldn't have the right to vote. You know, those are basic fundamental rights, the right to vote that belongs in the Constitution, and the right to collect a bargain, if you so choose, is a fundamental right that belongs in the Constitution. You know, the Bill of Rights were amendments to the, I don't want to give a civics lesson here, your listeners know, but the right to bear arms, the freedom of religion, those are all amendments to the Constitution. You know, it is right to amend the Constitution when you're talking about providing people with a fundamental right, and collective bargaining is a fundamental right.
You know, and David, we've struck a nerve. We've got a lot of callers. We're going to get back to the phone here in just a second. But I, when I talked to Stephen Henderson of the Free Press last week, and of course we profoundly disagreed on them not endorsing Proposal 2, when I said to him I believed it was a right and therefore belonged in the Constitution, even he admitted that if you believe it's a right, then it does belong there. He just doesn't believe it's a right. I do. There's a debate on facts, guys. That's a debate on facts.
That's right. I was just going to say, while I obviously sharply disagree with Stephen's opinion on Proposal 2, he is arguing it at a high level. He is not resorting to what the opposition has done. You could have a good give and take debate with Steve Henderson on it and respect each other's opinion while you disagree.
And be proud that he's a fellow citizen. Paul in Pontiac joins us now. Paul, thanks for giving us a call this morning. You're on the air with David Hecker.
Good morning, Tony. Good morning, David. How are
you?
Good
morning.
Good morning.
Good.
Tony, I'm a retired police officer from Pontiac, So we kind of go back a little bit. I'm sure I put out a few pounds on Oakland Avenue.
Yes, you did. I used to love to service our men in blue, and when I had my restaurant in Pontiac, absolutely, Paul.
Anyway, one thing I find upsetting is a police officer appearing in a television ad with the badge and the shoulder patch of that particular county or municipality that he's representing. Those actually belong to the citizens. They don't belong to that individual officer. And I think that, you know, where does it stop? Are we going to have officers appearing for auto sales for some dealership or, you know, restaurants? Or where does it's got to stop, Tony. And those do not belong to that individual. They belong to the citizens of that municipality. Number two, I support collective bargaining 100%. And I've been kind of, since I retired, I've been on a quest, Tony, to find somebody in the United States of America that has not benefited by collective bargaining. You don't have to belong to a union to actually benefit by collective bargaining. That union member is buying your product or patronizing your store or restaurant with his wages that he's been able to make with that union contract. So I support unions 100%, and go to the American Federation of Teachers. Go to Barack Obama 4 more years. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Paul. Hey, send me an email. Let's reconnect. Tony@thetonyshow.org. David, you know, I appreciate these people doing our work for us. He's right.
He's absolutely right. Nothing really more needs to be said. Paul hit the nail on the head, and just let me thank Paul for his career as a police officer, and obviously what he's done for his community.
Absolutely, because he is a pillar, and he does bring up a very interesting point. And Ken, I'm going to ask you to stay on hold because we got to get to a break here in just a minute. But he does bring up an important point. Since when do our law enforcement officers endorse?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what the exact rules are on that. I'm sure any officer who appears in an ad with the badge, I'm just saying exactly what Paul's saying. You know, that's the badge of the city, of the county, depending on where the officer serves. I'm just not sure what the rules are and what can or cannot be done.
Certainly,
not my field of expertise, but one thing, you know, should be said is that the proposal to people do have an officer in an ad who has, you know, directly benefited from collective bargaining and comes out against two.
Absolutely.
It's hard to understand.
And I was gonna mention that. David, I don't know how much time you have for us today, so I have to ask you that question before we get into the break.
No, I have another 20 minutes or so.
Well, good. We'll do one more segment with you. Ken and Warren, you are up next. Thank you. 888-552-3595. A lot more to get to, including a voicemail I got from Bill Clinton yesterday. That's right, from Bill Clinton. We'll play it on the other side. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Rush hour traffic, and we got problems on your commute. Let's head over to US 23 southbound between Silver Lake Road and 8 Mile, where you got heavy stop and go traffic. Now, Warren Avenue westbound, just before Gratiot, that is closed, and police are on the scene. On 275 northbound at Copernic Road, accident has your right shoulder blocked. 75 southbound at 14 Mile, still dealing with that accident, has your right shoulder blocked. Southfield Freeway northbound just after Grand River, accident has your left lane blocked. Grand River eastbound just before Evergreen, accident has your right lane blocked. And on Shana Road southbound just before 12 Mile, disabled vehicle is blocking your right lane.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 48 with early morning showers. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and 46. And it's currently 42 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
This is former Michigan State University football coach George Perlis. I hope you will join me in voting for Brian Mussallem for Michigan State Board of Trustees. Brian Mussallem is a co-captain on the MSU football team. I know Brian Mussallem will use his leadership skills to represent everyone at Michigan State. I hope you will join me on November 6th voting for Brian Mussallem for MSU trustee.
Paid for by the committee to elect Brian Mussallem.
According to the self-aggrandizing mythology of America's right-wing rich, Sheldon Adelson is one of society's producers, not one of those morally inferior moochers who are always looking for government handouts. For a reality check on the moral superiority of the rich, however, take a peek at who's now trying to do some of the most egregious mooching ever from the economically devastated people of Spain. Why, it's Adelson, the multi-billionaire casino tycoon from Las Vegas. In addition to trying to buy favors from our own government by throwing as much as $100 million into this year's presidential and congressional elections, the far-right Republican extremist is making a huge financial play in Madrid, Spain. Posing as a magnanimous producer, Adelson claims he will create 250,000 jobs there by erecting a dazzling, neon-bright $35 billion gambling mecca to be called Euro-Vegas. Casinos, hotels, golf courses, four-star restaurants, you name it. Sheldon's corporate development shimmers like a free enterprise mirage for Spaniards suffering from a housing and banking collapse and 30% unemployment. But wait, a mirage is nothing but an illusion. And so is Adelson's free enterprise miracle. In fact, Sheldon the Moocher is demanding that two-thirds of the funding come from the cash-strapped government, which would have to take out bank loans to finance Adelson's profiteering scheme. He's also got his hand out for special tax breaks, and get this, he's even demanding labor law changes so he can bring in cheap foreign labor to build and staff his Spanish casinopolis. This is Jim Hightower saying, what we have here is another example of the ultra-rich's extraordinary sense of entitlement. The dark secret of so many self-proclaimed producers is that, in fact, they're professional, world-class moochers.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. David Hecker, president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan, is my guest. We're going to go right to the phones as Ken has been patiently waiting. And Ken, thanks for your patience. You are now rewarded with the microphone. It's all about you, buddy.
Okay, good morning, Tony and David. Listen, a couple callers ago, you had a guy talk about some union conspiracy to nefariously alter the Constitution for collective bargaining. Well, you know, we ought to look at the other side of the coin on this. What about the criminal conspiracy by the Republican crime syndicate to bust the union, to eliminate collective bargaining? And what for? To funnel public funds to private corporations that use what we all know as legal bribery to get these guys to pass these laws. Now, you know, there's always two sides of the argument. He talks about a union conspiracy. Let's talk about what the real facts are, is the Republican conspiracy to bust these unions. And, you know, this guy like Schuette coming out there with, you know, who is, we all know, is a corporate stooge, and that's how he's, you know, earned his badges, is by the money fed to him by corporations to support these causes for the private, you know, the Michigan Chamber of Commerce and all these other right-wing think tanks that write these laws for these people because they don't have brains enough to do it themselves.
Well, Ken, thank you for the call. You know, David, before I let you comment on that, there was an article in MLive yesterday that, you know, there's a concern about the way the governor is doing his recent ballot initiative tour, that he may be straddling a very interesting legal point here, and he's got to be careful how far he goes.
Well, obviously the governor has to be careful as to what he does as governor and what he does as a politician. The caller's point that the people who are fighting collective bargaining rights have really garnered everyone on their side together, has pulled an incredible amount of money in. You know, they're the same people who put money behind candidates who have passed the laws to severely undercut collective bargaining. You know, they're the same people who put money behind candidates who voted on the state budget 2 years ago to take $1 billion out of education so that corporations could have a tax break. It's a well-oiled machine, well financed on the other side. They have an agenda, and I got to tell you, they're very good at pursuing their agenda.
No question that's true. Let's go to Mark and welcome him to First Shift. Mark, you're on the air with David Hecker.
Morning, Tony. Good morning, President Hecker. Good morning. I just got one quick comment. You know, market forces kind of force organizations to sprout up. If the other side was doing such a fine job, we really wouldn't need unions. David, you and I could go home in the evening rather than sit through laborious meetings. So honestly, whether it's good or bad, this is why we exist. We shouldn't have to exist. If people were doing the right thing from the get-go, we would have a lot easier life than we have now.
Well, Mark, that's a pretty fundamentally sound argument, isn't it, David?
It absolutely. If everyone was treated fairly and justly, fair day's pay for a fair day of work, everyone having a good job, being able to provide for their family, having the kind of life we all want for ourselves and more importantly our kids, if that existed for everyone, my guess is that unions may not have been called upon to come in by working people to organize and to together mobilize people to represent workers' point of views and community point of views. But as the caller said, the fact of the matter is a market-based economy is driven by one thing and one thing only, and that is the profit bottom line. And profit's a fine thing. But when profit drives an economy to the point that they don't care about how people are treated, and they don't care about fairness, and they don't care about justice, well, then it's wrong.
Absolutely. I got a voicemail yesterday. Mark, thanks for the call. I got a voicemail yesterday from President Bill Clinton, and this is exactly what it sounded like. It wasn't silence.
Hello, this is President Bill Clinton. I'm calling to ask you to vote yes on Proposal 2 to protect collective bargaining in Michigan. Collective bargaining protects rights for all working families and gives you a voice to negotiate for fair wages, benefits, and safe working conditions. Voting yes on Proposal 2 also protects workers from corporate special interests that arbitrarily cut wages, benefits, and pensions and ship jobs overseas.
That was an important message from President Clinton urging you.
All right,
to vote
that's good, guys. Thanks. David, Bill Clinton doesn't take, I don't care that it's 46 seconds long, he doesn't take 46 seconds out of his day to do something he doesn't want to do.
Absolutely. Let me thank Senator Stabenow for really assisting when a number of us to have a chance to talk with President Clinton. Bob King led that discussion, Carla Swift, president of the state AFL-CIO, and to talk to him about Proposal 2 so he could have the facts, he could think it through, and he could think about, is this a position I want to take? And he thought it through. He looked at everything, obviously. He doesn't make rash decisions. And he supports Proposal 2. And we think that's great. We appreciate him taking that position. We appreciate him doing the phone call that your listeners just heard. And I think it says a lot about Proposal 2 is obviously the right way to go. I mean, when you think about how this country flourished under the Clinton presidency and he supports 2, obviously, for people not already in support of two, hopefully that gives them food for thought and they come over to the side of voting yes.
Now, David, let me ask you very quickly, as we're going to run out of time here pretty fast, about the polls. I'm not concerned about the polls, but I am concerned about the way people perceive them. Can you address that for me a little bit?
Well, yeah, you know, there are polls all over the place. The poll that was reported on some television station in the newspaper is just totally off other numbers on Proposal 2. And, you know, this is a cliche, but it's true. The only poll that counts is the poll that happens on Tuesday, November 6th. And the bottom line is if everyone out there in this state who supports fairness and justice for working people, who want safe communities, believe workers should have a voice, believe moms and dads should have a voice, those people come out and vote on Tuesday, Proposal 2 is going to win.
Well, there's no question that I believe that as well. And, of course, as I've spent time on the phone, I've spent some time knocking doors. Of course, we've spent I don't know cumulatively how many hours on Proposal 2. This is just a human right. It makes sense to do. One more quick call before we have to get to the break, and we welcome Mark in Birmingham. Mark, thanks for giving us a call this morning. You're on the air with President David Hecker.
Yeah, I understand your argument for private sector unions to protect workers from evil corporations, but do we need unions in the public sector because we have an evil government? I don't understand the argument for public sector unions.
All right. Well, Mark, thanks for the call. We'll let David respond to that.
A working person is a working person. Just because your employer is the public sector doesn't mean as a working person you're going to be treated fairly. You're going to be treated justly. I mean, the fact of the matter is, for the American Federation of Teachers, you know, it's the unions that go to the bargaining table to bargain smaller class size for our kids. It's the unions that go to the bargaining table to bargain to make sure we have the books and supplies that we need. It's, you know, Paul, the police officer before, his union goes to the bargaining table to make sure that police have the equipment and the staffing levels to maintain community. Public sector employers are no different than private sector employers.
You know, it's interesting. I especially through email, I get a lot of email throughout the day. A lot of people listen on their way into work, and then once they have a chance during the day or in the evening, you know, they write me, and they write me a lot about public sector. Some people are conflicted. Other people are not. You know, the reality is there is no difference. As an example, work in Troy, I have a budget. My department has to function under that budget. That includes salaries. Tell me the difference between that and General Motors, David.
Right. It's, again, a public sector. There are some great public sector employers. There are some public sector employers not so great. Same thing on the private sector side. Public sector employers are under, while there's not a profit bottom line, they're under the same kind of financial issues. They make decisions that they think are best or that they think should be made, and without collective bargaining, those decisions could actually, and examples are, hurt education, hurt the safety of community, don't give worker a voice. Without collective bargaining, teachers would have minimal say in what goes on in the education of our children. Yeah. Police would have minimal say as to what goes on for the safety of our communities. An employer is an employer. If it's public sector dollars, if it's private sector dollars, it doesn't matter. And collective bargaining provides the same rights and benefits if it's public or private sector. And again, collective bargaining, if it's private or public sector, lifts all boats. Everybody benefits if they're a union member or not.
David, 20 seconds. The last time we'll hear from you until after the election.
We're going to win on Prop 2. We're going to reelect President Obama. The real key, as your listeners know, as you said early on, Tony, is this weekend, Monday, Tuesday. It's get out the vote. get out to vote. The more people who vote, it's better for President Obama, Senator Stabenow, Prop 2, Prop 4. We need people to get out there and not just exercise their right, but exercise their responsibility.
All right, David, we're out of time. Have a great day. We'll talk to you after the election. Thank you. David Hecker once again. We'll be back, folks.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
Out of all the nastiness I've seen in the day, you were one of the few that's very honest, that's very sincere, and very true to heart. People like you, Carl Levin, and Debbie Stabenow are good for this state.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Hard work used to be the way to get ahead in Michigan, but getting ahead is getting tougher. Corporate CEOs make millions of dollars by cutting our jobs and benefits. That puts everyone's future at risk. Collective bargaining protects us. It levels the playing field so workers have a voice and share in the company's success. Collective bargaining protects us against unfair layoffs and arbitrary cuts. Voting yes on 2 protects collective bargaining. Voting no puts us all at risk. Vote yes on 2. This message brought to you by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters.
I'm all for Proposal 2 because I feel like collective bargaining is very important to the freedoms of the people of Michigan. I've been in the union now 35 years, and it's helped protect our jobs. With Proposition 2, it helps maintain that, and the more union members there are in other companies, the better the contracts are going to be. I am all for Proposal 2. My name is James R. Message. I work at Kroger's in Warren, and I am the United Food and Commercial Workers.
Union members across Michigan know what it will take to protect working families. Vote yes on Proposal 2.
Hi, this is George Perlis. I've coached for the Pittsburgh Steelers and at Michigan State, and I've seen a lot of great players, but Brian Musalem is one of the toughest I ever coached. Brian Musalem was a co-captain at MSU, and now Brian Musalem wants to give back to Michigan State by running for the Michigan State University Board of Trustees. Whether you bleed green or not, I hope you will join me in voting for Brian Musalem for the MSU Board of Trustees on November 6th.
Paid for by the committee to elect Brian Musalem.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now. 888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
My sincere gratitude to David Hecker, the president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan, for really 45 minutes of some of the best radio we've had on this program. I want to thank all of the callers, including Brooks. I understand Brooks's cynicism, and I understand, you know, he's very much a, and if, Brooks, if you're listening and I'm misrepresenting you, my apologies. I think he's more libertarian than Republican, but I could be wrong on that. And he has a right to his opinion. But to characterize this as some kind of conspiracy theory didn't seem to me to be quite fair. And I think that when we debate the facts on facts, like we mentioned Stephen Henderson, we profoundly disagree, but certainly respect his right to his opinion, Brooks, as I respect your right to yours. We just, again, profoundly disagree on this point. Going back to Hurricane Sandy and the implications of that, and although we did talk with Susan Demas in the 7 o'clock hour, you know, as a candidate, Mitt Romney finds himself in an unenviable situation. Although, like everything else, he's bungled. This is one of them. There are ways to do this. A donation to the relief effort, which he did do, which, you know, is fine to even publicize that. That's fine. I mean, there are ways to do that that don't seem self-serving. But to hold a fake relief event, which is really what he did in, of all places, Ohio, smells of political and politicization. Let's go to Lawrence O'Donnell with MSNBC on Last Word and get his take on this.
We're going to box these things up in just a minute and put them on some trucks, and then we're going to send them into I think it's New Jersey, is a site that we've identified that can take these goods and distribute them to people who need them.
Oh, it's hard out there for a presidential candidate who is utterly irrelevant to the massive relief effort President Obama is running in the aftermath of this week's historic storm. Because the desperate and shameless Romney campaign believes it cannot win the election without winning Ohio, Team Romney pushed their poor candidate out onto a stage in Ohio yesterday. Because the storm was still in progress in some states and the death count was climbing in New York and elsewhere, traditional political decency dictated that Mitt Romney not be caught campaigning yesterday. And so Team Romney hastily rewrote a campaign event into a, quote, non-campaign storm relief effort. Thanks to BuzzFeed reporter McKay Coppins, we now know exactly how they did that. BuzzFeed reports, the night before the event, campaign aides went to a local Walmart and spent $5,000 on granola bars, canned food, and diapers to put on display while they waited for donations to come in, according to one staffer. As supporters lined up to greet the candidate, a young volunteer in a Romney Ryan t-shirt stood near the tables, his hands cupped around his mouth, shouting, "You need a donation to get in line." Empty-handed supporters pled for entrance, with one woman asking, "What if we dropped off our donations up front?" The volunteer gestured toward a pile of groceries conveniently stacked near the candidate. "Just grab something," he said. Two teenage boys retrieved a jar of peanut butter each and got in line. When it was their turn, they handed their donations to Romney. He took them, smiled, and offered an earnest thank you. Yesterday, Mitt Romney was surely still hoping he too would get to ride around in a helicopter with Chris Christie and be asked his advice on how to help the people of New Jersey who've lost their homes and in some cases lost everything they own and in tragic cases lost loved ones. And so, at yesterday's fake disaster relief event in Ohio, Mitt Romney tried to show Chris Christie that he knew a whole lot, an awful lot, about how to help out New Jersey.
I remember once we had a football game at my high school, and the football field afterwards was covered with all sorts of rubbish and paper goods from people who'd had a big celebration there at the game, and there was a group of us that was assigned to clean it up. And I thought, how are we going to clean up all the mess on this football field? There were just a few of us. And the person responsible for organizing the effort said, just line up along the yard lines. You go between the goal line and the 10-yard line, and the next person between 10 and 20, and then just walk through and do your lane. And if everybody cleans their lane, why, we'll be able to get the job done. And so today we're cleaning one lane, if you will.
No, 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 Mitt. You're not cleaning anything. And America knows it.
I don't even know how to follow that up. Yes, there's it is certainly a great analogy. Cleaning up a football field after a raucous crowd storms the field, and cleaning up after a major storm ravishes an entire seaboard. Yeah. So everybody pick a lane. Think about this now. I want you to visualize this. If everybody picked a lane and started picking up stuff, why, it'd be clean in no time, wouldn't it? Absolutely not. Maybe Mother Nature gave us a gift. Maybe the hurricane or the superstorm, whatever you want to call it, is the October surprise. Maybe it is. We know the president looked presidential. Why? Because he was just doing his job. Didn't take him any kind of extraordinary measure to do what he did. He was just doing his job. Yeah, he cut the red tape. Yes, he made it easier. It's ridiculous to think that he was politicizing this because he was just doing his job. Ask George Bush one question. Does he wish he had Katrina to do all over again? Does he wish he didn't do that flyover in Air Force One looking at the devastation on the ground in New Orleans? Ask him if he made mistakes. And if he'd be honest with you, he'd say, absolutely, if I could have a do-over, that'd be my do-over, because it cost him a lot of political capital. We are still frightened by the images of Katrina. I remember when I was on the air during that time, watching the live broadcast of people stranded on roofs, begging for help, stranded on bridges and overpasses, with no help coming. They didn't drop supplies. These people were ignored. How does that happen? And then one of the people criticizing the president over the last couple of days, Michael Brown, the former FEMA director who had to resign in disgrace because of the way he didn't respond to Hurricane Katrina. I'll remind you, George Bush said, literally, the day after the hurricane, you're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. Those words will ring in infamy. All right, Chris Mihalakis on the other side, and we're also going to talk with Supreme Court candidate Bridget Mary McCormick as well. Everybody stay where they're at. Much more to come on First Shift as we kick into Hour 4.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, let's head over to Warren Avenue at Van Dyke, where that intersection is closed due to an accident. Also, Van Dyke, north and south between Forest and Gratiot, that's also closed due to that accident involving a traffic light that is down in the intersection. On 12 Mile Road, east and west at Greenfield, traffic lights are flashing red in all directions. 75 southbound at 14 miles, still watching that accident, has your right shoulder blocked. Grand River eastbound just before Evergreen, accident has your right lane blocked. And we still have that closure of Dexter Avenue in both directions between Webb and Elmhurst due to a serious fire. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 48 with early morning showers. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and 46. And it's currently 42 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hey, it's Anthony.